Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 24th of the 11th month, 2025. It is a Monday evening and you are absolutely hanging up with your girl, the Matriarch, the Matriarch. So the question for tonight or the conversation around tonight, the conversation for tonight is, right? Should women have their own money within relationships? Should you? Is that what you're supposed to be bringing onto the table? But today I have quite a little bit of a surprise for you guys because we're going to do something a little unorthodox. Mara, it is well because, I mean, that is the only way to go about it. All right. Good evening to you. How are you?
Doing quite well. Thank you so much for calling.
My name is The Matriarch. I'm calling you from Eagle FM, and I have just merged our shows.
Thank you so much. Very, very interesting.
I know. I think it's the first in history where I'm merging two shows on two separate radio stations simply because we can, Moss.
Very much.
You know? So it's touching base on your side and it's touching base on our side, and definitely, it is what it is, right?
Definitely.
All right. So maybe you can introduce yourself.
Wonderful. For those that are listening, this is Captain Lloyd. I am Radio 94.5 FM on the takeoff. And the main trade, you see, we're having a very interesting conversation in the studio right now. Before we went.
But I should also introduce myself to your listeners.
Introduce yourself to my listeners.
Yes, because I also want. All right. My name is The Matriarch and this is Eagle FM and this is 104.0. In Windhoek and surrounding areas, I guess. Hello, hello. So talk to me. What's your take?
Wonderful. We're asking a very important question. And I'd like to hear from you as well as your listeners that are tuning in right now. The question we're asking is this. You see, we now live in a world where love is becoming a little bit more complex and as well as challenging. The question I'm asking tonight is this. Are people falling in love or are they falling into survival mode? Are people falling in love or are they just falling into survival mode? You see, we live in a world where people are now just like let's say are Namibians basically using love as an escape from poverty?
Yeah.
And what is your take on that? Just quickly start with you.
All right. So for me, when I heard this conversation, right, because I was on my way to work, when I heard this conversation, it went in alignment with the topic that I was going to start, which was now, should women have their own money within relationships, right? And that's a little bit intact. That's a little bit in alignment with what you are talking about. But then when we go into the survival mode and everything, I would like for us to explore the dynamics of love, of what do we consider to be our love languages in terms of not just love languages, the ones that are from the book, but what does a person have to bring to the table in order for us to be able to love them?
I think it becomes a very complex one, especially when you put it in that manner.
Yeah.
Now look at this.
That would explain survival mode. That would also explain our divorce rates and people, not women, but people leaving as soon as the money dries out, right? Because if I was supposed to be in a relationship with somebody that is loaded, money, the guala, the guaps, the dough, and then you go bankrupt because you are gambling our money away. Am I not going to leave you when that well dries up?
Now, would you then say that a woman is genuinely in love with a guy or was it the money? Because why are you leaving?
I love you and your money, sir.
Okay.
I love you and your money, and your money makes you attractive, say. You smell nice with that explorer, eh?
Interesting. Now let me try and bring you to this angle.
Okay.
I'd like to hear your take on this.
All right.
Let's point it out. Let's say truth. Let's speak the truth for its matter.
Okay.
What is your take when you then think about it as to are Namibians, or should they say, are most men emotionally unavailable because they're financially stressed? Because already now when you say that, I love you and your bank account, let's say now the emotional part is not really there.
Okay, let's explore that one a little bit. Because the thing is that when it comes to money, everybody's jittery. Everybody wants to play holier than thou, but we all know that money is important, right? Just like some guys don't want to date women that have children prior to the relationship. Just like some men don't want to date fat girls. Some men don't want to date skinny girls. Some men don't want to date tall girls, short girls. Some men don't want to date albino girls. Some men don't want to date girls that come from Onakuleka. Eh? Everybody has a preference. Some women don't want to date a broke guy. Some women want to date a broke guy. And everything has a reason behind it. Maybe this person wants to date a broke guy because she, like you were saying, prior, that maybe it is a control thing. So she would like to date a broke guy so that she can control him, so that he's not gonna cheat on me because my dear, eh, I have the money. Yeah, we are twisted. We have to meet every situation with suspicion. Right?
Why is it not preference? Everything with suspicion. Why so?
It has to be suspicion because we don't know other people's backgrounds. We don't know the reason that they like who they like. Psychology dictates that many of us would date, the opposite of our parents or our parents. In the genders that we prefer, right? So with me, for example, I'm a person that has deep abandonment issues and obviously, or not obviously, right? It would say that the type of people that I would, or the type of men that I would generally go for is somebody that is not available. But unavailable in what sense? It could be unavailable in emotion. It could be unavailable in finances. It could be unavailable in time. It could be unavailable as a dad. It could be unavailable as a partner. It could be unavailable as something. But it all goes back to the daddy issues and the father wounds that we talk about, that say now that if you don't heal this, then it's going to be like this. And then if you look at all your exes, I mean, they were lacking somewhere. That one was a great guy. Eh? He was a great guy. Mara, he was just not available. He was working very hard for the family, but I only got to see him on Saturdays. You understand?
That's a sad reality. Now, let's quickly check some of those facts. Just want to bring in some quick facts. Mm-hmm. Now, Namibia's unemployment rate has been hovering, that is, around 33%, according, that is, to the Namibian Labor Force, you know, survey of 2024. Mm-hmm. And as well as youth unemployment, it's over 40% in some reports, and as well as inflation, all this, and food and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And recently, I was having a convo with some male friends, especially when I'm quite sure you've seen the price of fuel that wants to go up, or maybe it's already going up. I'm thinking about it like, now for relationships that have always been surviving on, are you going to pick me up or not? Are they at risk of dying?
Okay, but then prostitution has always been there.
Sure. That's
prostitution.
That's a very risky conversation.
Yes, because prostitution has, it's the oldest profession in the book, isn't it?
Sure.
So in order for you to only be in a relationship when you are gaining financial gain, that's just pure prostitution, no matter how beautiful we make it look. But prostitution was there before.
I like the fact that it's coming from a female perspective.
Oh, my dear, ruthless is me. Eh? My dear, ruthless is me. My callers are even calling here. Mara, but I would say that if the relationship's strong point has been the finances, then why would it survive when the economy drops?
Sure.
Because I love you because of the money, but I think that what we don't understand is people. I think we are failing to understand that people have preferences. Just like you like mommies that come from the rearboard side, a little colored, you know, a little colored with some long black hair. She must look like a Caribbean somebody. She must look like a goddess, something. There is just a dude that just wants a village mommy. Yeah. And then there's there's just a mommy that says, guys, I cannot date Nilifa. Nilifa is broke. And for me, I just don't want Mwapa smelling there. And I just don't want those things of like, oh my goodness, are we going to eat chicken gizzards? There's only 20 units on the electricity. Like, for starters, why are you still paying prepaid electricity? I don't want this. You understand? It's preference. Dear. It still goes down to preference, even if we bring the economy into it. And also prostitution was there before the economy even. Eh? And these types of people, gold diggers, huh? Gold diggers have been there since the beginning of time. But mostly, the only people that complain about gold diggers are people that can't afford them.
Well, the only people that complain about gold diggers are people that can't afford them.
Yes, because you never hear Bill Gates saying, "Oh, my wife, she's such a gold digger. She wants a Louis Vuitton original what with a serial number what." Did you know that they make handbags with serial numbers?
Wow.
Eh? Those are original ones, serial numbers, like a gun.
So to all the ladies listening right now, please check your Louis Vuitton, the ring that he bought you. Does it have a serial number?
It doesn't. It doesn't, Shem. It doesn't. It was such a bummer when I think it was Gucci that said that they've never sold anything in Namibia in their lives. So like, sure. Wait. Everybody that's wearing me.
You see, there's a reason why sometimes I never went for some brand. It's okay.
You see, we just went for our known name, as long as it's good quality, 100% cotton, you know, it might last me a couple of years. But going back to our conversation, right?
Yeah.
Is the economy has never been the foundation of any relationship. It has always been people. It's just like people are not, it's just like guns are not bad. Guns don't kill nobody. People with guns kill people. It's just like demos are not bad. People driving demos for bad intentions are bad. So,
sure. Interesting.
Yeah, so it would be wise for us to look at what is your reason for wanting to be in a relationship. And maybe if we can just walk away from that whole, "Oh, Romeo, Juliet, I love you so much." Oh my goodness.
Because you guys are watching so many telenovelas and Telemundo. How do you expect life not to be very hard?
Exactly. 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 And also, if we look at the true nature of all these romance thingies that are out there, there's nothing beautiful about two people committing suicide because their parents said they can't be together.
Yeah, interesting. But just to wind down the conversation.
Yeah.
What are your final remarks before we let you go?
Uh-huh. All right. I think that people should be honest about why they are in relationships. We should start there. People should be open enough to receive another person's perspective. I want a woman that can cook and clean and birth children and also just stay at home, and so that I know that my offspring is growing up with one present parent. And then you can say, "I want a husband that is loaded, that is not going to complain about me taking these kids that he said that I should birth to Cape Town for the weekend." Okay, deal, deal. And then we can love each other in the process, cool. Yeah, but this. So if the Cape Town trips, dunk. I'm also dipping, I'm out.
There's no KFC, there's no love.
Yeah, because also, there was also a question that you posed that said that, should we look at our bank accounts before we step into relationships?
Yeah, very, very important one.
Yeah, and that should be based off of your taste. Because you can't, you can't want a Ferrari on a donkey Botswana budget. You must understand that the Ferrari costs the Ferrari price. Say. So you can go for Nangula that doesn't mind the Donkey Botswana, but you don't want that, Moss. You want Ferrari. So now you want to go and kill Ferrari because Ferrari don't want you anymore. Or she doesn't want to talk to you. Or better yet, you had the Ferrari and then she dipped.
Very hectic, very hectic. Uh-huh. No, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we can do this tomorrow again. Eh? Tomorrow we're talking about something quite interesting. I'm talking about is your partner faithful, or they're just faithful enough not getting caught?
Or,
yeah.
Or are you blind in love because the signs are always there?
Dizzy. Some people are dizzy, but what can you say?
No. If you're dizzy, then you're happy, Moss. It's fine. Leave it. If you're dizzy, you're happy because obviously they are doing something right. But it is definitely a conversation that is worth diving into.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That was me calling IUM, IUM radio station. And I was thinking about this conversation and I was really just thinking, Kucha Mara, is it really? That, like, should it really be that way? The number in studio, ladies and gentlemen, is 0832-888-401. Good evening.
Good evening, Madam Bo.
Good evening, Tate Buana. How are you doing?
So, Botan was the IUM.
I was speaking both sides.
I was like, is this a dream or is something going on?
You know, I decided that we are going to merge our shows and then it is what it is. I heard them talking. So I decided to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on my way to work, I heard them talking. I was like, but this is in alignment with what I was talking about. So what is your take on this conversation, Tate Buana?
Before you do that, let me just thank God for that connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes when I roam around, I come to hear, oh, IUM radio. Then again, I lose it. I don't know, maybe they need to get their frequency.
Mm.
So thank you very much for that interaction. It was very good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with all those statistics that we have heard and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that, yes, your question was, what is my take on what?
What is your take on the conversation that we had? So,
it's very, very informative and very meaningful. But then the dynamic, the social dynamic,
mm.
and you also was mentioning about the economy.
Tate Buana, why did your wife date you?
Why did
your wife date you?
Why did you? That one, she loves me.
Why?
Yeah, because I display these manly qualities.
Like what?
That manhood.
Like what?
The intelligence. That peace, that patience also. I mean, that's easy, you know me. I'm a very easy person to especially to manage control.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if
you have that honesty, that kind of, I think this is what I could see and from our conversation, but mm-hmm. maybe she might have something more
mm-hmm.
than what I could, you know.
So if you woke up the next day and you were no longer intelligent, would she leave you?
No, the intelligence that I'm talking about too. It's not necessarily the one.
No, but if you lost the whatever intelligence it is, if you lost it, would she leave you?
I mean, there's no way to ever talk.
No, that, but we are speaking hypothetically.
That could be now her own things, but you know, it's somebody who is very caring, so she has that spirit of Geri Umbundu.
Okay, so why did you date her?
Yeah, I dated her because I wanted her to be my wife.
But why? What makes her the one out of everybody? What are those qualities?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What are those qualities?
Camilla is very beautiful.
Okay, beautiful.
She was really desperate. Somebody who was desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, mm-hmm. I could to see some of those social, those virtues, you know, mm-hmm. and many, many other things. And then, I knew that she was going to be my wife because I loved her.
Okay.
Because
she was beautiful, she was disciplined, and she was righteous. Okay. Those are the principles of your relationship with her.
And many, many others, you know, she could.
But there are specific things, Tate Buana, that are deal breakers, and there are specific things that are winners. There are specific things that you see in a person and you're like, okay, yes, I can give this person my time of day. And there are certain things that they can do, that they can do, right? That can show you that, this is a bad person, or I don't want to be with this person. And those are the qualities that I'm asking for. You mentioned that she's beautiful, yes? And she's disciplined, and she's virtuous and righteous, right?
You know, when I got here, when you were, how are you? And then later on, I got there, then I discovered that she was very faithful. And so I see.
But those are discoveries.
The peace.
Those are discoveries. Those are discoveries.
It is a discovery that has to do with some qualities. Like
but that means you were already together by then.
Yes.
I'm talking about at the beginning, what you saw. What you saw is important. You saw somebody that is disciplined. You saw somebody that is virtuous. You saw somebody that is beautiful.
The beauty, yeah. The beauty and the physical comportment. And they discover that, yeah, you know, there are some certain unique kind of, I think, some of, you know, things that I could detect from her. Many, many other ones. So, but love. You know,
she didn't love you from the beginning.
I love her from the beginning.
You didn't love her from the beginning. The first day you saw her in your life, you love her. It's a complete stranger.
Imagine, complete stranger. You know what happened?
Mm. Yeah. When you didn't love her, you were fond of her that day. And then you grew in love with her. You started loving her a little bit later. Then you started reassuring your choice, which I made a great decision because look at how she's turning out. And the conversation that I'm trying to drive right now is that you have specific preferences within women. And that is why up until today, you've only been married once to a person that displayed these particular qualities. So now if these particular qualities, right, go away, like beauty, for example, right? And discipline and virtuousness. If these qualities go away, would you still stay with her?
Yeah, I think, yes.
Would it not make her a different person? Would it not make her a different person?
Yeah. So I think in the process, we would have at least also acquired and learned some of these things. But I see some of these things could have gone wrong. Yes, obviously that will be determined by the situation by then. So you see, if you know that the person was honest and all of a sudden the person becomes dishonest.
So would you still stay with her if she became, if you,
respectful, if somebody who's respectful and all of a sudden, you know, the respect goes away and all these things. You, by now, you, at least you might know that something might have gone wrong in your relationship.
But what if nothing went wrong and she just decided that she's going to be this person? Would you still love her?
Yeah, you might love her. I still love her, but I might not love the way, the attitude and the, what she's doing.
Would you still stay?
So that love might still be there, so that might also motivate me to see how I can help her.
Tatebwana, let's say this is the first day and you find out that she's beautiful, she's disciplined, she's virtuous. And then in 1 week's time, you realize that she's not beautiful, she's not disciplined, and she's not virtuous.
Oh, that might have gone wrong with my memory.
No, it's not memory. It's not memory, and you must stop. You must stop self-blaming.
Yeah?
You must stop self-blaming because not everything is about you here.
Then why should she all of a sudden change like that?
She changed because the first time you met her, she was wearing a gang of makeup. And she was dishonest with you.
You know, my love continued because in different...
How can it continue if it never existed and it was 1 week?
The time when she was a girl.
Tatebwana, I think that you are looking at the perspective, you are looking at this issue. No. You are looking at this issue too closely and not holistically because you are actually imagining your wife. And that's not what we are talking about. We're talking about preference. There are certain things that you prefer. Preference. There are certain things that you prefer in women. So, do you mean to say that you have not met anybody that is beautiful, that is disciplined, that is virtuous till now?
Yeah.
You have, right? And they showed you later that they are not like this.
Yeah, obviously.
And when they showed you that they are not like this, what did you do? You left. You left. Why did you leave? Because you don't prefer that.
It's hot soup.
It's not even hot soup. It's because you don't prefer that. Because you don't want to be stuck with someone like that for the rest of your life. Now why do we look at money in a different light? If somebody prefers somebody with money, why do we judge them?
Oh, no, I think, yes, that is where now I got to.
Because we prefer beautiful people, we prefer disciplined people, we prefer virtuous people. But when it comes to money, we want to pretend like it is a taboo to like money.
Yeah, I think to make our life more convenient.
It's not even making your life convenient. What if you are just stimulated by people with money?
It's very important that the money is there. I know it brings a lot of confusion. Like your question when you came and you asked and say, well, so should your money be a joint kind of...
Should women not have their own money in relationships?
If they have their own money, they are still going to look for our money.
We don't know that.
Oh, but
you know... We don't know that because women don't have their own money.
What I'm saying is that I've seen in many relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, because I don't know many people now when I have seen, I interacted outside there, those in a marriage, they will always have that, no, I'm paying this one, I'm paying the car, this other side, I'm paying this other one, I'm paying this, no, separate kind of account.
But if you went for a woman that likes money, because you like women that like money, because your preference is women that like money, and her preference is guys that have money.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, when your money finishes, it's a problem because she's supposed to lower her standards because you are not meeting your standards or what? Because she remains the same. She's still a woman that likes guys with money.
That's why gender-based violence also comes in.
Mm.
So because I don't know, that statistic was there with the, was a research that was done.
Mm-hmm.
And why men, but a gender-based violence against men.
Yeah.
So in terms of economic and social, you know,
mm-hmm.
they are saying that, sometimes it's just the woman who say, no, so you cannot provide.
Mm.
Hey, the others are providing this other one, you know, money now.
Mm.
And, you know, those people in the Namibian Correctional Services are the ones who interviewed.
Mm.
Yeah, so, and it's true.
Mm.
Yeah, you see, that is the preference is money.
Mm.
That woman, I don't know.
Why are we trying to change women? Or why are we trying to change people? Why don't we just go for the people that prefer us as people?
Yeah, you see, are they there?
Yeah, there are people that prefer. There are people that prefer other things apart from money.
Yeah. Okay.
There are people that prefer, right? For example, in the Rasta community, you'll find that women in the Rasta community do not even look at men that are not Rasta. Whether you are walking, whether you are driving, whether you are what, as long as you're not living by the Rasta customs and the Rasta and the Rasta regiment or what we call it, they are not even looking at you. It's just like some Angolan women.
We were told that the Rashiyama,
mm-hmm.
by the preaching there,
mm-hmm.
because all was in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and we were told that the Rasta people are not the one maybe with dreadlock,
mm-hmm.
the one that smoke ganja,
mm-hmm.
the one that don't eat meat,
yeah,
the one that don't eat what are the other things that they don't do?
They don't eat many things, dear.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So they are more vegetarian.
Mm. They are whoever they are.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Those things.
Mm-hmm.
But you also find them with those who are doing those other things, and then. And they are doing other things.
Mm.
So I don't know. So maybe their culture, maybe they know better.
Mm.
But I will tell you that all those people there, all those who are starting there, apparently they are also Rasta.
Mm.
Rasta is not only for them. That person was now specifically saying that Rasta people are not these other ones here who are doing this arrangement for the funeral. And all those, he was pointing to all those, the crowds that were there.
Mm.
So maybe what they do,
the conversation is around preference. There are certain types of, there are certain women that don't even flinch when a non-Rasta man approaches them. There are some women that don't date white men at all. There are some women that don't date outside of their tribe. There are some women that don't date outside of their race. These are all preferences, but when it comes to money, we can condone every other preference except the preference of money. But what is our problem? Because we can condone, right? Somebody saying that no, I don't date Namibian men, but yet they are men. Have impregnated a fleet of women. Wait, do you remember when the Angolan economy was doing very, very well? There were a lot of students here that came to study when the economy was doing extremely well. And a lot of those students left a lot of girls pregnant here. But how many Namibian men got their women pregnant?
You see now?
Eh. Because they have a preference. Because there was a preference. Kucha akin to Yoko Angora, they don't date outside.
But I've met a lot of women who are saying that they really want babies.
Okay, fine, but those ones are provisions now for these conversations. But in all honesty, it seems as if preference is allowed in this world. But when it comes to money, there's so much mockery, there's so much disgust, there's so much condemnation around the conversation of money. So what if money is my preference? What if money is my preference? What if I came from poverty and I do not want to experience that again, and I do not want my children to experience that, and so I'm not going to date outside of money?
Is it now when you say money, that kind of exempted or greed? Because until you, so just a normal one, not greedy.
Not greedy, not anything. I'm just going to date Prince Charles because he comes from money and he comes from that generational wealth, and it is what it is. So even if we get married, we get divorced, we have kids, whatever, I'll always be sorted for life.
Starving in the house.
Yes.
Starving in the house. So they say, you know, this kind of...
They might be a little depressed here and there, but they are definitely not starving.
To meet the basic necessity.
Exactly.
So I think it's fine.
No, but that one is not the conversation that we're talking about at the point. We're not talking about basic necessity. We're talking about women that want guys with money, or men that want women with money.
To meet the basic needs.
Yes, to meet the basic needs at the expense of somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I'm having with this is that many people don't understand other people's preferences because we want to lie to one another. Because also, that tall hunk, right? That tall hunk that is dark and lovely and chocolate melanin, all the nice things with his six-pack, right? They start having problems with his wife the minute he gets into a car accident and people cut off his legs.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't talk about that one. We don't talk about how many people have gotten divorced after they became disabled.
They got
divorced? Divorced. Mm-hmm. After they become disabled. And they all want to say, it's because I lost my job because I'm disabled. It's not that. It is because you are not what I prefer. I don't prefer a man on a wheelchair. I prefer a tall hunk that has a six pack. And now you are not a tall hunk that has a six pack. And now I don't like this.
Yeah, it does happen like that many times. And it really does happen a lot.
Yeah.
So especially we have had a lot of women, mm-hmm. wives, do actually desert their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they get injured,
mm-hmm.
or when they get old,
mm-hmm.
when they become more elder.
Yeah.
Because the normal person So sometimes women are more younger.
You see?
That men, not in many situations.
So you guys are not growing. Because men will date a younger woman, right? So that he has somebody to take care of him when he's old. But then the younger woman doesn't have the idea of, right. I'm going to marry this guy so that when he's old, I'm going to take care of him. There's nothing like that in her mind. So when you become old, she ships you off to your family.
Just to chop the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are right. That's correct.
And then later on, the family gets angry when this woman where this young bride brings back their old relative. Kucha, I can't take care of him. You guys must take care of him. Right? They get angry and say, yeah, but you have been eating our uncle's money. Yes, I was eating your uncle's money and your uncle was enjoying me also. How? Me and my youth. Yeah? He was enjoying having a pretty young thing.
Maybe the husband was not enjoying, maybe they were just staying there together.
How can they be staying there together? There's no reason for you to date 20 years younger if you're not going to be enjoying the Ferrari. Why would you be dating 20 years younger if it's not to enjoy the Ferrari?
Yeah, I mean, you are right.
Yes, and part of the enjoyment of the Ferrari is that the Ferrari is also making you feel young again. Mara, you didn't tell the Ferrari in the beginning, Kucha, me, I'm going to date you because I want you to take care of me when I'm old, ne? Because if you would have told her that, right? Then she would have had a choice to say, Kucha, you know what? I don't want to be taking care of some old guy in his old age. Then she can walk away. Then you can look for somebody that can do that.
Can I just give the what did you say? The nothing.
The what?
She must just give that provision there.
No, but he must tell the truth. Because all of them are saying they are marrying for love. All of them are marrying for love, apparently.
If somebody is telling you that, then you know that they might not be true.
All of them are marrying for love. So there's nobody that is saying things like, when I get old, I need you, I'll give you access to my black card, to my yellow card, to my swiping card, to my whatever card. Nobody says that. They all pretend. And it's that pretending, right, that brings us back to this conversation time and time again. What is your partner's preference? What is it that she is there for, or what is it that he is there for? Because some men date certain girls for stability. Because if you ask me, Tate Buana, I don't understand why a woke guy from the capital city is marrying a teacher from the village.
Why
a woke guy from the capital city with all these beautiful women, educated and everything, is going to date a teacher from the village? Why? Because his preference is stability. Because what he wants is a woman that is stable, a woman that is consistent, a woman that is a homemaker. That's what he wants. That's his preference. That's why he will leave his girlfriend in a flat to go and marry his wife that is from the village that his parents prefer. Because that wife is most probably the same person that is going to check on his elderly parents and driving his elderly parents konanjokwewe. But this one from the woke culture, she wants moet and she wants thongs. And that's not what he wants to marry. But then we get mad.
That's peace that you're talking about.
It's not peace. It's not peace. It is stability. It's not peace. It is stability. The stability brings the peace. It's just like the money brings the peace. It's just like the attractiveness brings the peace. It's just like the caring brings the peace. It's an accessory.
Yeah, so that provision, I think for me, it is beyond, is more than money. Because, you know, if the teacher had to take care of the husband.
It's not comparison, Tate Buana. It's not comparison. What we are doing here is not comparison. We are talking facts about what people prefer. Yes. And yes. And even if that is his preference. His preference yes. is a woman that is less educated, is a woman that is more consistent, a woman that is traditionally bound. That is his preference. He doesn't want to come home to be talking to somebody that has a statistics degree. He doesn't want to come home to an economist or a doctor, somebody. He doesn't want that. He wants somebody that is talking about, oh, today when we were driving, did you see that other car? Minimal conversation about minimal things so that he can also relax. It's preference.
Yes, exactly. So you are now actually saying, confirming something with what women are saying. They are saying that when they get more educated, men don't want them.
No, but that's not true. That's not true. Because there are men, there are men that have rejected that teacher. Because she is, because she's not educated enough. Because she can't hold up an intellectual conversation.
If they are not educated, they also don't want them. If they are educated, they are afraid of them. If they are not educated, they tend to dominate and manipulate and do all these things.
But it's all about preference, Tatebwana. It's yes, just
now,
preference.
They prefer now, like you are saying, of course, they have different preferences.
Yes.
But I think what I don't know, because for me, when you are telling me those pictures, I miss like dream to miss like of course you interact there and there with people, and then you also discover that this is not my preference.
Yeah.
So even though you are enjoying your fruits and all this,
it's just like some people would never look at a light skinned person. Like no. I don't like yellow people. Like that's it.
Oh, but I mean,
and then there are some people that don't like dark skinned people.
They have been crying for that yellow one.
Like, and that's your preference. Now it's like me saying, Kucha, yeah, you are having colorism because you don't like dark women.
You see, yeah, but you know, but to tell you the truth, man. So after all had happened, I've been really craving to get that one back.
But then if it was money, right, I would bash you because that's like you saying, man, that you want a woman with money.
Yeah,
it's the same.
Yeah, for me, but you know, for me, that one has never preoccupied my mind.
No, but it has preoccupied because you have a preference.
Yeah, I know that,
you have a light skin preference. So yeah, that's the equivalent of us saying that you want a woman with money. It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's preference. You prefer somebody that is not going to struggle to pay your hospital bills. If you're going to the hospital, it's not going to struggle. And then somebody else prefers somebody that even if they are struggling, they are sitting next to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That has time, you know? And it's just preference.
You know, because the way, you know, when I'm also imagining it, because I'm imagining somebody of that, just the description that you have just...
caliber.
That yes, so even if there's no money, you are there around social support.
But why do you prefer that? Is it because you don't have money?
No, because you may have bought a little money.
No, but my question is, why do you prefer somebody that has no money?
Yeah, of course, you can always create money.
Tatebwana, why do you want a liability?
Yeah, it's a liability.
But it's your liability. No, Tatebwana, it can't be like that. But it is like that, and it's tit for tat here. It's really honestly a conversation about accepting people's preferences and understanding what your partner's preference is. But thank you so much for calling in, Tatebwana. Please call again at 10.
For that education.
Alrighty.
God bless.
Ciao, ciao. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be having a conversation. Hold the line, please.
E filoshisho, otali kulandula kona vewayuk. E kwashili palekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHB. O atupa telekomesho kwashili palekolo afika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo da Namibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filo shisholo paulumo mumbu. Kwa voveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layashi. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule ominute disyonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo ponje yoshilongo. E mangono malandula fano, odo dino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM 104.0. Good evening.
Good evening, the Matriarch.
Good evening, bestie.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation is about preference.
It is about preference.
Every relationship.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
It's only there where there were arranged marriages. But even arranged marriages in the past,
put into consideration preferences.
The parents, the elders,
mm-hmm.
It was because of preference that they chose the person that they chose.
Yeah.
That they chose for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because of preference, they just didn't wake up and just
decide to bring you a hand that you wouldn't be attracted to.
Yeah.
Which as we see him looking at Nyash, we know that if he's gonna marry one, it has to have Nyash. Because they see you, they observe you, they evaluate how you turn.
They evaluate other things now. It's the kettle and the family, you know?
Yeah.
The preference.
Yeah, the preference.
Mm-hmm. Affiliation to war, when the war comes, you know, this family is strong.
Yes.
Will be protected.
Yeah. So what's your preference, sir? Let's talk.
Out there, among
and then Delelano, you want the slow woman? Not to chase you away, I want you to get to it. But okay, please proceed.
So, what I like about nowadays relationships,
What you like about them?
Especially from women.
All right.
They make it clear from the onset.
Wow.
That this is my preference. I don't like this type of guys. Say if you are here and you are that type,
I don't want that.
I'm not interested.
Was it Penny? I don't like that.
So, I'm at the name of paying some money.
Yeah.
Small money.
Mm-hmm.
Just that day of payday, you go to town, you see a hand.
Yeah.
You have a Samsung, the lowest of the range.
Okay.
Of the Samsung ranges.
Yeah, not the one Katoshi, the Katoshi.
Not even a Katoshi, go like a smartphone.
Okay, the better one.
One camera.
Okay.
5 megapixels.
Woo! Dusty. Ashy. Yeah, okay. Is it cloudy there?
You are approaching this hand with the iPhone 17 Pro.
It's not even out yet.
Out,
I am the teenager. It just got out. It's not even out yet. Oh. It's really still baking if we look at it.
This hand is getting out of her own car or a car, a vehicle mm-hmm. that she is driving.
Yeah. She's
you
parking.
Are approaching. Yeah.
With a Yango.
She. But I'm a man. You can already see that this is beyond.
Yeah. But those women, they also want to be approached.
No, they want to be approached.
Yeah.
But now, when you approach this woman.
Yeah.
You are either approached with a welcoming heart because of this one wants to be approached. But are you the one that wants to be approached by?
Or it now goes back to preference, right? It's not just looking at my exterior. Shoot your shot, right, sir? Shoot your shot. But don't go and bash people. when you actually have a bad attitude. Maybe I don't like the way you talk. Maybe I see that even the way you talk is like you're an uneducated person. And I don't want an uneducated person. I don't care what he's driving or if he's not driving. I just don't want an uneducated person. And now you turn around and say that, no, matriarch is trash because she doesn't like broke guys. It's not that I don't like broke guys. I don't like people that are uneducated.
So this hand tells the guy, look.
What did he say? Please play it out for us. So he went upstairs to the restaurant. What was he wearing? Tell us, man.
He wants to get an
play it out for us so that we get it.
Let me tell the story and then narrate it better.
Okay.
But the girl responds and says, look, I don't have a...
What did he say first?
I would like to take you out sometime.
Maybe he just found me sitting there. He just found me there sitting and
he walked up to the girl.
Straight at the table. So he doesn't have manners. So he doesn't have manners. So he didn't even do that whole thing of where we are looking eye contact what. Hey? He just saw me going into a restaurant and then he just decided to ambush me like a stalker.
You know, payday,
I already hate him.
Payday is hectic and this person might just take a turn and you don't see them again. So he just walked up to her and you know,
But his approach is wrong.
You look nice out there, Anne.
Okay.
The lady responds and says, no, I don't have a problem. But
with what? What does she not have a problem?
Giving you my number.
Oh, so he asked for the number. But why don't you want to play out the story?
Giving the number.
Why don't you want to play out the story? Now we are all just in limbo here.
You will play out.
No, just play out the story. So he gets upstairs and then he sat there for...
No, he didn't go upstairs. It's from the parking.
Oh, so he followed her after she closed her car.
Yeah.
Like, very creepy, by the way. So he ran away because he must, probably was on the other side. He walked fast. So he just sees strange women coming out of cars and then he walks fast towards them. And then he went there and said, oh no, please give me your number, ma'am.
No.
Eh.
I saw you,
yes.
And I thought I'll never see you again.
Oh, wow.
If I don't.
I like that. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the problem? We have 3 hours here. Why are you not taking the things where we want to take it?
So since it's month end, I bet you are here to run errands and so forth. And so am I. Hey, number 8, down time.
Okay, then there we understand. I thought it was outside times.
Hours.
All right.
Yes. So he would like to get the lady's number to take her out sometime.
Mm.
The lady said, I don't have a problem.
Mm.
But say, take a good look at me.
Did she do a 360? Did she turn? Take a good look at me. What's that? Shoop.
This I do on my own, right? And I don't settle for anything less.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you maintain? Are you here for jokes or are you serious?
Okay.
Yeah.
Implying that she wants a man that can maintain her and that's her preference.
Yes.
So she doesn't care what he looks like. She doesn't care what he can even be a Satanist. It's okay as long as he has money, right? And that's her preference.
Yes.
So she doesn't even care if you're short or you're tall or if you are dark, light, albino, if you are white, yellow, if you are purple, she doesn't care as long as you have money. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And that comes from now the female side.
Okay.
But men are silent about their preferences. They want to get into relationships and then later on.
But that's not true.
But
that's not true. Men are not silent about their preferences. Because, right? Some guy would marry matriarch and some guy wouldn't.
No.
Because there are certain preferences, right? There are certain preferences where this guy, to be honest with you, right? His preference is that he likes expensive women. That's his preference. Whether he can keep up with that, that's another story. But his preference is well-kept, expensive women. That's what he likes.
Every person has a preference of the person they want to be with.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And men are not vocal about it the way that females are. Men will firstly get into a relationship either for sexual reasons, you know. If she is sexable. Yes, yes, and physical appearance. And then
preference.
Later on, yes, and then later on, when they want to wife, that's why you find men dating someone, being in a relationship for 10 years, mm-hmm. girlfriend, boyfriend, mm-hmm. and there's just that man that he broke up or they break up with the partner.
Mm-hmm.
He's engaged. He's already getting married.
Like, oh, that was fast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but women, on the other hand, from the onset,
yeah.
right? They will tell you, me, I don't like this. I don't want to live in Katutura ever, you know?
Mm.
Straight up, you know, regardless of who you are or your financial standing.
Could it be that maybe men, help me with this brainstorming, right? Could it be that maybe men don't have a specific, don't mention whom they want to marry, right?
Yeah.
Whom they want to marry, but they do have a preference on who they want to be with. And when in their lives they want to be with someone like that.
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
And now that you've mentioned that, there's also another thing that I wanted to touch on.
How old you are.
No.
Mm-hmm.
In modern times, yeah. you know, men have now become now also, what do we call it?
Mm.
LGBT, you know?
But that one is a different conversation.
No,
but
just
okay,
hold on.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. hold on.
Gay.
So now, yes. So mm-hmm. now,
they've always been gay, by the way. But okay.
Yes. Now it's just more open. I think.
It's more out there. Yeah.
So now men have become a bit less for the women out there, for the girls out there.
Mm.
So now women have.
They've always been half, and then now it's half of half now.
Yeah,
my goodness. because they've always been less. Now they are lesser than less. Okay, wild.
Now, women have lowered their preferences.
And standards.
Women have, in standards, you know, as long as the guy at least...
He's a man. as long as he's a man. Which take all everything else.
Younger.
Yeah, even if he's 10 years younger, yeah. you know, as long as he's a man, as long as he's
you
not
know,
gay.
As
long as Ken, yo, the 21st century is killing us here, that our preference is straight. I like men that are straight.
The matriarch.
Talk to me.
It is so deep and real.
Yeah.
Might laugh about it that even the doctor at the psych ward, right, will ask a person who came there.
A patient. Yeah.
So when can I see you again? But
it's psychiatric.
It's psychiatric.
The person is about to get locked up. When you're when you're done with your treatment, maybe we can go out for dinner. How? It's wild. Come on, I don't even really need him to be sane. I just need him to be straight. You know? Like.
Ow. And then, at that moment, I realized that, yo, I know women are... They've got it bad now.
Women are wild. It was already, you know, because men have always been less. Eh? Now we cut that one by half now. Like, yo. And then also, it keeps
getting cut.
Yeah, no, it's by half. And then also the men that play for both sides, also half a game, half of half.
So it's now wild. I feel so sorry for the women because they really had good preferences. Oh,
you sound like a hater, bruh. Like, yeah, you sound like you're mocking us. Which are, they really, they're very nauseous. Very, very. I could look at you with an air preference at the washing. Oh, she must have done it again that I should defund it all mad. My goodness.
And you find those that are still just, you know, they come from harsh backgrounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, man, this thing, you, I must take you out one day into the capital city and see things.
Go and see them.
Yeah. You will see this person on TikTok or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Go see where they live.
Oh, yeah.
But they live in a shack and they are 5 day or 7 in, not even partitioned because you can't partition it. Mm. If you partition that shack, then it's already sure.
Mm.
You can't fit a bed in there.
But that would be more somebody that is dating for survival, right? That is somebody that's dating. Yes, to get out. Now, if you took me out, I'll continue loving you. But if now we get into this relationship and you took me out, right? And then you lose everything, all our things. I'm never going back. I already told you. Yeah. My preference is a person that can take me out of the ghetto. That is my preference. So now when you take me out of the ghetto and then you go and lose our things, right?
Yeah.
Because of bad choices that you are making, because I don't even ask you about your choices and everything, because I'm just enjoying being out of the ghetto, right?
Yeah.
You are the one that's supposed to be the brains here. Yeah? Me, I'm doing everything else. I'm dressing in the thongs. I'm entertaining you and your friends. I'm going to the gym, bruh. I don't even really like working out and I don't like waking up in the morning, but I do it because that's what you like. Because you are giving me a personal trainer. Yeah, with your money that took me out of the ghetto. And also, I mean, I was black. Yeah? I'm in Klein-Ventuk. I'm in the burbs. Right? You see? So I'm maintaining this. Eh? Because this is what you said you like. Right? Oh. That's why you hollered at me. So now, you go and tell me, which I know, baby, pick up, we are moving to my mother's house in Freedom Land. How? What?
Yeah, regroup,
Moses. We are moving, We are moving to my mother's house in Freedom Land. Question is, why? Like, no, the stock exchange. Hi!
Finances are not finances.
No, but I don't love, I'm not with you for this love things. That's not what I'm here for. Like, if you're taking, like, I can't, sorry. Is your friend Timothy single?
That is where now the problem comes in with men.
Eh.
You already know from the onset, then you go forget or.
Yeah, I don't know. Eh? We play house so well, you forgot.
Eh?
We play house so well, you forgot. Eh? Because me, I'm doing my job the whole time. I've never slacked. Even when I had your kids, I jumped straight back to the gym.
Yeah.
I knew that if I don't maintain what looks nice, right? You are going to leave me for something that does look nice. So I maintained looking. I did my part. I even learned how to use chopsticks when we went to China.
That is the problem. Men go forget the agreement from the beginning.
Hey, you forgot the way you found me.
Which I am.
Did you forget that I don't have to go and pick up anything? Hey, which I know, maybe when you're moving in, babe, you can go and I have nothing.
I know this girl. This girl, she cannot even cook.
I'm not here to cook. I'm here to look good, sir.
Yeah.
Did you forget that all your friends want me?
Yeah. So the problem is the preferences has always been there. They've been there. Now later on, when this guy gets older and
now he wants the unexpected from me.
He wants now that wifey material, and this one is not wifey.
Sir, this is a transaction.
Yeah.
You keep the money, I keep looking good, and I also deliver sex on time.
The sooner we get to understand each other's preferences,
yes,
the longer we can maintain and sustain our relationships,
mm-hmm.
and decide from the onset, which, you know what, I'm wishing my feet. In the long run, I don't think I can go do it anymore.
Yeah.
So if we agree on that and understand it from the onset.
Can we maybe also talk about the fact that men don't think that they're going to fall off? Let's just talk about that, sir. Men don't think that they are going to fall off. Like they are going to go bankrupt. They don't think that they are going to get old. They don't think that they are not going to be attractive. Yeah. They don't think that.
Yeah. And the falling off financially might also not happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you will grow older.
Yeah.
And you will grow out of this.
Yeah. It's the same as I marry you because you are very sexually active and now all of a sudden there's an erectile dysfunction. I cannot. Sorry, say.
Exactly.
I married you for sex.
And then you find guys that get into relationships with women that already have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they play house so well.
Yeah.
Just because they want to be with their mommy.
Yeah.
And then later on.
When the child lives with them.
It was all just a front because it's just their mommy that the guy is interested in.
Yeah. Now the problem is that you're so deep in it with the mommy because the whole time you're just picking up mommy most. You're picking up mommy for weekends. You're picking up mommy for what? Now you guys actually have to live together with mommy and the kids. And you can't stand it because the kids are touching the wall with oily hands.
Yeah.
And you have your all white house.
And this lady didn't need anything, doesn't need anything. She just wanted
love.
A father figure
mm-hmm.
for her son. Someone who can be there for the son because the real father is not there. And now you are not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So why should she keep you around?
Exactly. Because that's what I wanted in a relationship. I wanted a father figure for my baby. Yeah. I don't mind if you are loaded or if you're not loaded. I wanted a father figure for my baby.
Yeah.
And now you can't be a father figure. Like,
Go play soccer with the boy.
Hey, call him my son. Replace the deadbeat. Yeah? And now you can't deliver that. I'm like, why am I even here? This is not preference.
That is what turns her on. Now, she's not giving you. You are now feeling some type for me. You are not.
What she prefers.
Yeah?
And then you go and find that she's dishing it out to the gardener. Why is the gardener getting it? Because the gardener is teaching the son how to mow lawns. He's teaching the son how to mow lawns and do manly things. Yeah? How to fix pipes and go under sinks. That's why the gardener is getting it. Yeah? Because
you play for both teams. Now you think this lady wants her son to turn out like that?
She said, I'm not even going to expose his secret. I'm just going to take all his money and walk. Because it's okay. Me and Tate Pandu and my son will go and make our family. Because Tate Pandu, the gardener, he's laying down pipe in real life and in the garden.
Let me tell you.
Talk to me.
If all the women, successful women, were told to bring their men out now, there's no success there. Like financially, so they are doing those other things. These guys are playing soccer with the children.
You understand. They're doing
they other things. They're there on time.
Because, yes, if... I know if we had to rate everybody's husband right now, people are really not in it for the looks or for the money. Because clearly men don't have any money. Eh? And looks. Thereby looks, majority of them, they don't have it. Because also they played a lot. But they are picking up kids from school, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Eh? These guys are on time.
These guys are on time. They are going for parents' meetings. They are going for soccer matches. Eh? We love them because they remember the bread for the kids' lunch box. If we had to look at everybody's husbands today, we'd be like,
Your post, on your group, on your female groups, post your guys.
Post your guys. Post your guys. They will all try their best to look for a good picture. All of them, they'll try to look for a good picture because clearly, clearly it's not looks, it's not money. Because men are not economically doing well right now. It's not their era. Yeah? A lot of men don't have jobs. And like and exactly every man out here is just praying kuti ndiefa nekuti. Now you don't know why dudes are sad at their 35th birthday because they officially even they just that they lose so much on their 35th birthday. Which anga they are off the youth league, eh? They are not no longer part of the youth. They are officially 5 years to 40, and then also they can't apply for any jobs. Because the threshold is from 18 to 35. 35. People know they're even lowering it. Kucha, whoa. This 35-year-old top is here. We can't do this. Because even the bank won't give you a house because you have to pay it off for 20 years. Now when nice, you are kind of 35. You know, you've got like how many years to retirement? Like, ah, nah, brah. And then, you don't have the good years in you. I really don't look my age. You're like, yeah, but your internal organs, they are off a 35-year-old.
So men right now are the ones with higher preferences of, oh, she must have a car.
She must have a driver's license.
A good job.
Driver's license.
She
must be a single parent. She must have a car. They don't even care, ne? If the baby's father is dead, incarcerated, alive, deadbeat, present, they don't care. Eh? They have, like, dudes nowadays have, like, they have a wild preference. It's wild. Yeah? Because economy, they denge, economy. Eh? Or economy, brother.
It's not about a girl that's fire like
this. I'm not gonna she must have one stomach, eh? One stomach, a couple of stretch marks. Yeah. Those years of bikini what? You see them there with their wives, my dear, holding hands with a whole hand that looks like she's seen better days. Kucha wa ake and the hollow. Eh, kucha wa ake and the hollow. It's my wife. Check him introducing now to friends. It's my wife. My wife. His wife looks like she just jumped out of a hurricane, but he's like, I'm so happy with this woman, really. I know she has a stable job. I think that point that you brought up there, Kucha, if every woman right now should bring their husbands forward, right? We would realize that it's really not about the money.
This thing has changed. The preferences now are mixed up. Standards are lower, standards are higher than the other side. This thing is, things are not thinking anymore.
Yeah, they're not balanced. They're a little bit. But those times are gone, and this is where we can start redefining things, isn't it?
Oh, baby, mate, yeah.
But what is your preference?
I don't know. Why are you kidding?
What is your preference?
Why are you kidding to me?
You are here in my house.
In general.
But what is your preference? What are your preferences?
In asking me now from the beginning, in what now? Because this thing is bad.
All of the say. All of a sudden you cannot answer that question. But the whole time you'll be like, this guy's preference this way, All of a sudden you can't understand it. So what are your preferences?
My preference in a woman. In a woman.
Yeah.
Someone who is available.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh. Available in all things.
Like?
Mentally.
Mm-hmm.
physically, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just be there. It must never be too far. Because me, I don't like to be alone. I have that phobia. So, availability.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's sweet. Yeah, is the one you're having available?
Very. Even now it's available.
But I don't have to go fast just here. Which if you see me, you see her walking behind.
Yeah,
we're like twins, like shoes. One step forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Really? So that was, like, that is the ultimate. But when did you get to this when did you get to this epiphany in your life? Because I'm sure it wasn't always like this. I'm sure that you had to do like some soul searching, some experiencing and all of that for you to come to a conclusion of this is what I want in a woman.
The time that I was really alone, I decided there was no one.
Mm.
Even the ones that were there, they are not there.
Mm.
So I decided that I'm not going to do this to myself anymore. Mm. I would want someone who is available.
Mm. Now, how do you sculpt?
Mm-hmm. Because time is the only thing that you can't get back. Time, you can't get your age back. You know, you can't turn back the hands of time. But when someone is available for you to give you their time,
mm-hmm.
I know then that for me is we're together. Mm-hmm. I wear both shoes, man. Mm-hmm. It's a taboo to wear one shoe, even.
Jose, like your parents are going to die. Like, oh, but these people, nay. If you wear one shoe, your parents are going to die. You're like, wait, who said that? Like, I'm telling you, it's very intense there, though, ambulant. Okay.
To scare you. Man.
To scare you into wearing both shoes.
So you always wear both your shoes.
Hmm.
Maybe it's true, but I don't want to find that out. So, yeah.
Okay, so that is what you want, or what you looked for in a partner, availability. Availability in all aspects.
Yes.
Right? Must be available in all aspects. Yes, must be
because,
available.
Because us as people, we go through a lot.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Mm.
But when someone can be there for you, and there's nothing worse than being alone in a bad time.
Mm. Or even being alone in a good time.
A good time.
Oh my God. Like your birthday. Oh my God. So it's a good time, this one. I made it.
Christmas.
Oh.
Even if you don't celebrate it, anyone else is
celebrating. Yeah. And you're like, hey. Because even if the person has to go to work, right?
Yes.
Like there's still provisions and there are still plans. Availability for you. Mm. Clearing the schedule.
Yes.
Ah, okay. And money?
Not really.
Nah?
Cause the people that put emphasis on money
right,
are people who had extreme struggles with money.
Yeah.
Or have difficulties making money.
Yeah.
But when money is not difficult to make to you,
yeah,
for you, it doesn't become a preference in a relationship.
Mm. It just becomes a, if we have it, we have it, and if we don't, we don't.
We don't. We'll always
find it, yeah.
Because if we are good, the money will be there.
Mm.
Yes.
Me, my so preference if I'm alone, is sane.
The mystery again. I have shared the little that I could share.
Me, my preference is sane. You don't want to know my preference, eh?
No.
Why don't you want to know my preference? I also listen to you telling your preference here to the radio. Now people know that I'm available. I'm available.
You want to go tell the people about me? Or,
no, my preference. Me, my preference is sane. I like sane. I like sane, right?
Yeah.
And I like present, so available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, available. Oh, wow. Because right, going through life with its ups and its downs, right? It's always nicer to go through it together.
Through the witness.
Through
it's always there. can go there.
To a witness. Everything. A witness, Ombangi. You can even ask my dala, yeah, to top okashiri. Nando apu ana dali, yeah, to top okashiri.
Yeah. So now if you have a person who's there, not there, how
person
you
of interest.
Go give account.
Exactly.
Account to the fullest.
Mm. But do you blame people, or do you look at people? Do you look down on people that prefer money in relationships?
No.
Why?
Because everyone is entitled to their own preference. As long as it's not a secret.
Yeah. As long as you're not pretending to like me for my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then can't you like me for the money, right?
Yes.
And then when the money disappears, I thought you liked me for my feet. My feet are still here, but they are crusty.
because you find those women that, guy will be like, can I take you home? Okay, sure. You can take me home. Mm-hmm. And then where's your car? There. No, here's my car. No, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she just doesn't do Corollas or Demios, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought yours was the other one behind the car, but it's okay. Next time.
Next time, where? With me?
Go work a bit harder. Go work again.
Yeah, go work again and come back.
Yeah.
Because clearly you can work, because you have that one. Clearly you can work. So work a little harder and come back.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Straight.
And that's most probably why women can be in relationships with guys that do such bad things and they keep quiet.
Yes, because that
because I'm not here for those things.
Yeah.
He beats girls, but he has money.
Mm-hmm.
And he can buy the expensive foundation. And he can take you to private doctor. After he beat you. So beating is not a deal breaker.
You have your own, your whole furnished apartment that's paid for you. You don't pay rent in your life.
Mm.
It's not your mother's house, not your father's house.
Mm.
The title deed is not in your name though.
That's the problem with these girls. These girls ain't smart. Do you know back in the days girls were smarter? Back in the days girls all got houses on their names. I don't know what kind of sex styles they were doing.
No, those ones are the veterans.
Hey, Mahocha.
The ones who begin.
Mahocha. The original Hochas. The original Hochas all got houses on their names. Menangula them. Yes, and cars.
Went in for what they are going in and
came. And came out like varsity.
Yeah.
Now these girls, these young girls are lingering out here. Yeah? Now we don't understand why all these houses, apart from widows, right? All these houses, it's just me, but never worked a day in their lives. They just used to go out at night.
Elizabeth.
Hola.
When the Golf 7 came out.
Yeah.
It was the Golf 7 came out.
Are you taking it behind?
No, I'm not taking it behind.
Mm-hmm.
When the Golf 7 GTI came out, it was many years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a nice car,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one I saw, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in the north and it was driven by a woman. A girl.
You see.
Driven by a girl.
You see.
And everyone knows. I'm like, who's this? Oh, you don't know. Eh? Everyone knows. They just don't go jump there from
wherever you are coming from. from your parents' house, which you don't look there. Like, hey, hi, whoa. Not your cup of tea, not your caliber, whoa.
Wow. Cannot just go hide there.
You have to be someone.
You have to have something.
Of course.
Eh? Massive.
Yes. You have to be packing heat. And now you just want to hello. whoa. For starters, let's just, consultation fee, whoa.
But it's good motivation for stuff. If you can use it as a motivating.
Yes.
Not to the extent, which I na make wrong.
Yeah, na make wrong. Opon di monong kuka di o unda hala. Where you want a woman that, you know what I hate about men, and this is in all honesty, what I hate about men, is that men want a Ferrari, but don't want the maintenance of a Ferrari.
No.
They want a Ferrari,
and they don't want to maintain a Ferrari, or they complain about the maintenance of a Ferrari, right? Yeah. So they want this Ferrari to magically appear and become a Danke Botswana. Mm-mm. Or a Golf, a City. It doesn't work like that. So how about you date within your league? How about you date for the things that you like? What do you prefer? Because at the end of the day, these women that are after the men with the money, ne? Mm-hmm. They are with men that are after women that like money.
Yes.
Yes.
Look, the problem is now also that these women that like men with money, they also have money because they've been given money.
By the men.
They look clean. They're having expensive perfume.
Yes.
Obviously, you will want.
No, it's not obviously you will want, right? Because in that whole facility, there are other men that didn't approach her. There are other men that didn't approach her. Why? One, they noticed that they can't afford her. Two, they don't like what she stands for. Three, they don't prefer her. It's not the type. Four, it's something else, right? Maybe you prefer women, ne? That are well taken care of. But what you missed in the statement is that well taken care of by other men.
Yeah, so now in that whole facility, you find Nilifa sitting in the back.
Oh, Nilifa.
Just
Nilifa has suffered here at Eagle FM for 5 years.
Assessing the situation.
Yes.
And Nilifa goes to school.
Yes.
He does engineering.
Yes.
Opens up his own firm.
Yes.
And he comes back and, you know, he comes back.
He wipes a baddie. Yes. He wipes a baddie. This is what I want. I want a baddie. Yeah. I want a baddie that can pop 3 kids now and look like she's not on maternity, nothing. Not these Elizabeth things taking 6 years to recover.
I went to a friend's office one day to discuss business.
Yeah.
This guy was telling me, look, my brother, why and you go scorango money menu my randy for cooking?
Yeah.
Menu carry bright and kaya. Mali menu of crawl angole and cookie, aliano zalif crawley and go no catolo tarundura ko. They are the Gulombeli. We will talk and go to say Timinga or to Atanga to Nemo Ringa. Emmanuel for Angel of Agatha.
Emmanuel at Timbuk.
Emmanuel Rafa, so I mean, Umbolo remaining in the company with Liponga, Nanikoshima. I mean, Rajako.
Yes.
So you struggle for what you want.
Yeah. Including women.
Oh.
And also don't be bitter, because also if you have the taste of a Ferrari, then motivate yourself to get the Ferrari. And don't feel bad. It's just that you can't afford. Because me, to be honest, in my whole entire life, I have never heard a rich man say or call a woman a gold digger or shiriai. A rich man. Never. I've never. Mara, these $2 guys. These $2 guys are younger than you every day.
They shandy.
It's a posh. Eh? Blame my metro bicycle he saw. Menier.
Just because you don't have a license to drive
it. You don't even have a license. You don't even have a Lena say. Eh? They will drive. They are Porsches and they are Ferraris. Because I've never heard Oshiri Bill Gates say women are gold diggers. Stay away from. Never. I've never. And even the ones that sing, she's still my man. I ain't saying that she's a gold digger. When I'm they are the same people, ne? That go and date women that have sex tapes.
I'm even thinking about.
Oh, Western, that have sex tapes.
Polygamy. You'll never find a poor person going into polygamy.
Never. And you guys say women hate each other, but how are they making it survive with a rich man? a $22 million house, everybody will be fine with our two shotgun, with our two guns. Shotgun and, yeah, and what do you call it? This side piece or what?
A rifle
what?
And a pistol.
Exactly, a rifle and a pistol. We'll make it work. Yeah. And we all saw what this brother
I'll
looks
call
like.
I'll call her my sister.
We all saw what this brother looks like. We know that there's no catcher there. Eh? Yeah. We know that this guy is not romantic a day in his life.
Oh.
Eh?
Yeah.
And we also saw the caliber of the woman. Eh?
Yeah.
Grade 10. Please.
Yeah.
Eh? Long time ago. Eh? sitting on a $22 million house, bruh.
Yeah.
Eh? Yeah. I'll call her my sister.
Yeah.
Eh? I will call her to come and take care of our kids. Together, us, our, because me as a grade 10 dropout, all I wanted, ne, was a man that's capable of making the money.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I never have to suffer.
So that I never have to suffer, so that my kids never have to know the price of bread, please, because we are swiping.
When these people with PhDs are talking, I can talk louder.
I can talk louder because one, ne, the car that I'm driving, my perfume, even if I show
louder.
Up, eh, even if louder. I show up, even if I show up with that, you will respect me for my bank account. Because people talk.
Very loud.
It's very loud because yeah. People talk. So that even if I am speaking my broken English there, eh? When they say there yeah. comes matriarch.
Even the name is louder.
There comes me matriarch. Ya je. Eh? Okay. Everybody will stand up, even those with PhD what's. They'll stand up. And the one with the PhD will even lower herself net to not speak English the whole meeting.
Do you know that there are people, ne? The establishment that charge entrance fee around the capital or around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that never pay entrance fee.
Ever. They just walk through.
Because you are known locally, wherever. Also, maybe international.
Mm-hmm.
You are known for who you are. Or mm-hmm. Be taken.
Just like Murder yes, Mystery, now, the guy just says his name. Oh, sorry. It's my guest. It's my. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Exactly.
You no need to ever make reservations. Ah, yes.
Exactly.
So there are people that want that. And if you have that, you can give them that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are good.
Exactly. And everybody has their preference. Kusha, me, I want a smart guy. Like, ooh, I can't deal with stupid. Sorry. Yeah. Like, I know I can't. Like,
I love conversations.
I love conversations and also I love intellect. And I love the ideas you can also add on. Kusha, to this water that we are making here, how about we put in bubbles so that we can charge $15? I'm like,
already,
yes.
I'm already a brilliant mind. Now you want to go. Damage my brilliant mind.
Hey, we're talking about. And that is why I'm saying, Kucha, the taxi drivers that are dating the girls, they adversity. The girls don't leave you because of the money. The girls leave you because they leveled up in education. So get your education because, like, I can't deal with coming out of stimulating conversations and then I have to be listening to, oh, pay fair or business and, you know, I'm going to go to Samwara, Monge Shefa, they pay fair, or Narokwe kuna teleke, but people kuna yango pay fair, ne, or tatu stragera, nay man, no, $13, you know, oh, hi, yeah.
Tell the girl, kucha pay fair, or mona chungini.
You have upped the business.
You are not driving anymore.
And then also, you have 5 cars, 6 cars, right? At some point, right? You need an accountant.
Now you are still just
the guy with the gin and the Havianas.
Monawameme, people are coming to write. People are coming to write. You are not banking the money.
Yeah.
Eh? You're not banking the money. You're putting under the bed. Because intellectually, ne, it will also, you will also enhance. You will become better also, especially when more money starts coming in. Because if you are just depending on the cab the whole time, then it just stays there. But if you expand now, then you will need an accountant. And at some point, right, the accountant is going to explain how to balance your books, how to do expenses, how to do income. And then that would also broaden the way you think. And that would also ignite a fire in your relationship.
And now you will have a banker, and the banker will advise accordingly.
Hey, the banker is calling you in to tell you, Kucha, okay, now your money qualifies for this and this and this. So what are you thinking? Then this is the part where you are like, okay, so I need a kabas again, man. Yeah?
And how basic point
Kana kameme to competing no agalala agalala kipundi yaonga.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nangwe tokala ne uno meeting ashimema ya kilonga.
Na iko nate makuza mo venduka se goko shikango.
Shiri shiri. Eh? Manga be meri ko mo meeting ga demuye. Nangwe mweno to the nangwe mweno ulimo meeting ga zoe. So that even when there's graduation.
Nikaya ndifa nuzi goko mkunda.
Brur.
Na ubula arok.
Eh, ucha, onda pumbwa akangara sheka njeke ripo po shike, ponya timpea, eh, munaro hauto, your off-road. Eh, what do you call this Toyota? Land Cruiser. Did you see that other one that is in Itosha things where the people sit up there? So imagine now if that is your business idea, kucha, and drop into
ko at least this girl can see, oh man.
Aye, which, by then, she's sitting pretty because by year three, ne? Oshiri, we are not even renting, we are thinking of buying a house. So now we are talking, kucha, eh, pife, oroki kresto, puno new location, and parandi rando erfa, ninga andi randa ratungwanare. What's your advice?
Yeah. Those are the type of
conversations I want to have. Not this. Yeah. Kwa Babylon aneno kwali kuno shiponga. Ay, kwa Babylon aneno kwali kuno shiponga.
Oh,
yeko tahata. Yeko tahata. Kwali kuno shiponga nena. Oka kwanta makemukea mwala. Oh, ela wenene opanda dropa custom. Like, I know. But thank you so much for having joined us this evening.
No problem.
It was really insightful. So you're just available. That's your preference. Available
in the good reason.
No, available in everything, my dear. Available in the good and the bad.
Yes,
because it must be balanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it plays it outweighs.
Yes.
Yeah, it outweighs because the good times are more than the bad times, and even when the bad times come, as long as there's availability, we can thug it out, right? Together.
Oshonana.
Presents.
Shiwetene.
Sharp man. Ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings, where we are igniting the fire, where we are talking about you guys. We're talking about the preference, right? And we're talking about what women bring to the table. We're also talking about how we are supposed to see one another within relationships. Now, my argument is that many of us are unrealistic when it comes to relationships because we want to play that card of, I just want to make it for love. And so I love. Is love the only reason you are there? Yes, I'm only here for love. Oh, okay. You're only here for love. How are you only here for love as if you don't have eyes? Are you really only here for love? Because at the end of the day, right? You don't fall in love with the person on the first day. You see something you like and then you dig deeper and then you find it. You don't just love somebody. You don't just wake up in love with somebody. You fall or you fall or grow into love. And the question is, if this person didn't have those qualities, would you still be down with them from the beginning? And we wouldn't say these about our partner. We wouldn't say this about our current partners because we're like, oh, whoa, no, my partner, no. I will still love them regardless. But the truth is that if it was the second week, if it was the first week, right, you would have walked away. And those are what we call and deem deal breakers. Now, the problem with our nation is that we are pretending as if money is not a preference. We are pretending as if money is this very big root of evil, that people shouldn't like money, money is evil. Money is not evil. People are evil. Guns are not evil. People are evil. Cars are not evil. People are evil. Nothing, no material object out here is evil. It's the people that use it. So now why can't we give credit? Eh? And why can't we be honest? If people were more honest about what they actually want out of relationships, I think we would do our due diligence when it comes to the people that we are dating. We would really honestly, right? Like, to meet people halfway. Because if you, for example, are a person that is all about the coitus, right? All about the coitus, all about the laying pipe. And you now get into a relationship with a nun of a person that doesn't want those things, right? And is not for those things. And is also not meeting you halfway, but you didn't actually tell them that these are things that you want. You made it seem like everybody's doing it, so let's just do it, right? It's, if I'm exposed to the world, I would know that not everybody is doing it. There are certain people that can't stand stupid, for example. No matter how moneyed you are, as long as you are not clever, right? Like, she will just, like, I can't, like, oh, sorry. Like, as long as you can be dirt broke, right? And stupid, I'll not. No, never. You can be gold rich. And stupid? Can't. Because those are just preferences. People prefer people that can have conversations. People prefer people that have money. People prefer people that have a good body. People prefer what they prefer. But every time it comes to money, it's like we must bring other people's poverty into it. It's like we must be considerate of the poor guys. Then why doesn't anybody talk about the fact that the poor guys like girls that like money? Like, what's wrong with you? You can see that this girl likes money, but she's the girl that you like. How about we teach, right? We teach the boy child to like things that are within their means, or to work hard enough to afford the things that are within their means. Instead of bashing the girl child for liking what she likes. Instead of bashing one another, né, for liking what we like. Can we just meet the expectations of each other? If you like a person like Naomi Campbell, she is a model, a superstar, a model, an icon that has walked runways. Hello? That has walked runways, that has traveled everywhere in this world, and you are coming to say other things. Ah, guys, really, no man. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Matrix. I'm back.
Are you back? How are you, Tate Buena?
Well, I was not inspired by the best friend.
You were what?
The conversation.
Uh-huh.
The conversation has really inspired me.
Uh-huh.
Between yourself and the best friend.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just that these things are really dynamic.
Mm. Oh.
So, because sometimes you are expecting this person to behave this way.
And but did you talk about it?
And yes, that's why I remember now I'm referring to it.
No, I'm saying, Kujan, with the person now, you are expecting them to be that way, but did you tell them that these are your expectations?
Yes, sometimes.
Kujan, I expect you to do this.
Yes, okay. Sometimes you tell them like that, and okay. Then the person thinks that, who are you to tell me?
Oh, okay.
I cannot be told how to cook by you.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know, even that one, I heard it like, yo, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, sure. That one is a heavy one.
No, no, maybe you put too much fat.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just giving it.
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you from experience.
Mm-hmm.
No, but maybe it just happened today. Maybe you know, you can also make a mistake. You are a human being.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you can put a mistake. You know, like, that's why me, I always put today. They start and they cut spoon, small, 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 small. When you say, no, moderate, then that's small. Maybe the person who wants more can put me. So now, if you happen to say now, I don't know, this thing, but I think the start is maybe today, maybe it's a mistake. What?
Yeah.
Too much, I've been cooking for a long time.
Mm.
I cannot be taught how to cook by you. You know, like that. Mm. But now you are expecting the person to learn from the situation also.
Mm.
Then what is happening?
Yeah.
From the, you know, the situation.
Mm.
So not necessarily even to learn.
Mm.
Just to have a conversation and say, okay, I think it's a bit salty. And you know, I think so. Issues of that, those natures.
Yeah.
And you are actually expecting now the person to tomorrow they have to also learn that, you know, like you know, my kids, the children, not kids, children. So they know already that if they are baking fish, this fish that they bake, mine should be the last one because it must be burned, like almost burned.
Yeah.
Even when I eat,
it must be crunchy.
It must be crunchy. I can cook up the makipa fish.
Yes.
So now, in the other situation, if you make it like that, say maybe, I don't like, you know, like, you know, in one of these member sessions when one of the person came to this Ministry of Gender.
Mm.
And then the person, you know, they were telling us, teaching us. And I just suddenly went up there with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So the person was telling us, the facilitator.
Yeah.
Those are psychologists now. The way they just talk like you, same language.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, yeah, you find out the child has cooked. Mm-hmm. And this chicken here, you know, the chicken that you cook.
Yes.
Maybe it has got some little blood there inside. You know, sometimes when you crack.
Yes.
And you can see also that blood. If I see that blood, I will not eat it.
Wanyanya rasho, puja, ooh. I don't.
So now, issues of that nature.
Mm.
If you happen to do that, then maybe your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiancé has brought now to be.
Yeah.
So then you check it and they say, ah! But this one maybe you can be put again in the oven or what? What happened there? So I should remember my famosa fasha, you know, maybe in Nanjina. We would say, open if you name way, or Shapianawa,
yes,
or Shirinawa,
yes,
Kakunika, so Pamwe, or Punama, Tereko Shapamangu, the nation, Shirimosha, Fosha, Rakashan again.
Yeah.
If you mention like that, the person will tell you that, yeah, I should tell me that she would tell me, I got to shishi. I should got to shibu terega. I am not saying that you don't know how to cook. I got to shishi.
Marasan in Nashili.
Aye. Think that. Wapateramo, you know, Wapateramo. You know, Wapateramo, very people are there. Yes, but she. What kind of.
But maybe, but, okay, that, with that type of conversation, right? Do you know that a woman only gets to that point, ne?
That conversation doesn't take place, eh?
No, I'm saying, a woman only gets to that point, right? When you are a constant complainer. To be honest, right?
Sometimes you can overlook those things, see? You just to, you know, for the sake of peace and for the sake of not...
But imagine if you are not those kind of dudes.
Yeah, that's
imagine if you are a person that complains about everything. Like, oh, shimbobo shayula. Eh? Aye. Oh, unhoka unomongo wiji. Eh? I a pull on ne kucha kucha aye every day. Eh? Wamonone aye where she complain and it rally where she complain a luta
too.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What if I don't know how to make shapama?
No problem, but they care. Well, I'm gonna shishi. Shapama nishi.
Kandi shishi nengere kandi shishi. Shashino, it's
because we want to see. Come in the bright way.
Tate bueno, you're just talking, but just imagine you come home, koshimbobo. Just imagine you come home, koshimbobo, shayulane, every day, ne? And then the person says, I ain't gonna, kandi shishi kuku ningi imbobo ya pam. Haponga to lombwele kucha anonyoko ya mulongo iko ike. Oshiri.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Tate buwana.
You must never, if you want to get into trouble, ne?
Tate buwana.
With your conscience and everything, ne?
Tate buwana. Tate buwana, don't lie. Tete buana tatu mbwangu wala kala kame matutu kwa la kutule la lela.
No problem, I think I need to develop, there must be a spirit, some kind of revival or awareness being created.
Mm.
Because we cannot be allowing women to be beaten even in the street.
Mm.
No.
No, but going back to that conversation of, imagine if you are dating or imagine if you are married to somebody that complains everything. Like everything. Which, oh, aye, anoje ina koshoma ketena. Oh, aye, anoje akusa moshike shimo ofrijia kaka. Imagine if you are married to a person like that. Are you not going to end up saying, kuchapangwete, amwina tutekul? To be honest, it comes from frustration.
Don't say like that.
No, but it's true that the Bwana, and you don't want to look at it that way.
They do it. But what is going on in a joking manner?
I know. How long are you going to be joking forever? It's a very long time.
That's why they think now. So, if you don't know, if you get a couple of jokes,
Shashino, you complain about it every day. Ohara ne kucha, ohara ne kucha, itandi trainga mo kitchen amonondishi pameke ne. Ano ti kulombwele nengi, nitoka tuteki popo emwe emwe nehui.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are having the ultimate conversation of the decade, the conversation around, right, preference. And the conversation around preference also still goes back to money. Is money not... Are we not allowed to prefer money as women? Are we not allowed to prefer money just the same way as men are allowed to prefer women that have good bodies, women that are light-skinned, dark-skinned, women that are educated, not educated, women that look like money, women that smell like money, just the same way as women, as men also prefer the younger versions of, you know, the younger versions of their wives and all of that. They are allowed to have these preferences, but as women, we are not really allowed to prefer men with money. The minute you prefer a man with money, apparently you are a gold digger. Mara, am I preferring myself here? Because this person, ne, is also preferring me. So what does that say about him? Doesn't he also like Ferraris? Doesn't he also like Benzes? Doesn't he like Porsches? Doesn't he like nice things also? Doesn't he like jets and aeroplanes? Huh? Ha, ha. Now you are making it seem like, yeah, women are good things. And I've never heard a man with many minds, eh? Saying things like, oh, I just don't understand why these chicks like people's money. You never hear that. But the one that, these $2 guys are the same ones that are complaining about women liking money. But yet, these women that like money, eh? They are the women that don't have money want. Why? What does that say about them? Is that they prefer nice things. They prefer clean things. They prefer well taken care of things. And that's why women can turn around and ask questions like, do you see this? Do you see this? Let me do a 360 for you. Do you see this? Can you maintain this? Before you ask for my number, understand, because I don't mind taking your number, right? But can you maintain this? And that doesn't even guarantee that you are going to get me. That means you're going to get your foot in the door. That means I'm going to give you a chance, eh, to court me, to take me out for dinner and to take me to nice things. And then we can get to know each other so that I can decide whether I like your personality that comes with it. Because clearly we have eliminated the biggest elephant in the room, which was finances. Because you said that you can maintain this, right? So let's get the other things out of the road. Let's beat these things out of the ballpark. Let's see where exactly we can go with this. But can we just talk about the guys that also like expensive? They see a woman, they're like, you can see an expensive woman. You can smell an expensive woman. You can smell her. She doesn't even have to, like, you can smell who's an expensive woman and who's not an expensive woman. Right? You just find your middle class chicks, you know, average, nice, clean, but not extravagant. But then there's a woman, there's a boss chick, huh? A boss chick. When she leaves the elevator will smell like her perfume the whole entire day. And if we are lucky, tomorrow morning also. It's only that we cannot catch perfume in plastics. She's the type of woman that you as another woman would like to rub up on her, because maybe her perfume will also fall on your clothes. And as we know these women, we can see them. We have eyes. We are not blind. But you can see her too. And then you want to complain when she's telling you, Gujana, bra, I can't stay with you after you lost all the money. Like, I can't, eh? So they're what? They're seizing the house. All of them, they're seizing the cars. Eh? They're seizing, the kids are going to have to go to public school. And, woo, I cannot. I'm going to start dating the guy down the street. He's been checking me out. So I'm just going to make myself available, because what I want is financial stability, right? What I want is financial stability. And then these love things, I can learn to love you. Yeah? But what I cannot learn is learn to be poor with you. We should really honestly come to terms with the idea of people being honest and you being honest also. Because you are not honest with yourself, say. At all. You are not honest with yourself. And that is why you guys are landing yourselves in hot water. You guys say things like, yeah, but I taught this woman everything and what. Like, because you are my only teacher. You're my only teacher because I've always wanted this. And you are my opportunity. I've always wanted this. I've always wanted a rich dude. Yeah? Always wanted a rich dude. And now that you are the rich dude, you have a problem with it, because now you are not the rich dude anymore because you lost all the money at the casino. And you want me to stay with you. Why? Why would I stay with you? You don't have money. Like, I'm staying for what? For love. Like, I don't know how to love you without the money. Hmm? I don't know how to love you without the money. I don't know how to love you without the Porsche. Like, the Porsche was, you know, like, it was the stimulator. I can't love you without the Range Rover. And you must see that. You must see that and also protect yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Eh? If you see that this is the type of wife that you are having, hide your money. Hide money. Hide money, put it somewhere far away, offshore account, what. And don't become trigger happy. And when she licks your ear small, you tell her, I have an account in Cyprus. Don't tell her. Because when you guys get divorced, she will tell the judge. She'll tell the magistrate. She'll tell her lawyer. Hey, Gucha, yo, this guy has an account in Cyprus. I want half of that too. I want the money. Because she's there for the money. And she can argue it nicely and say, Gucha, it's for the maintenance of, or for the upkeep of whatever. She can talk about it like in that sense. But when you are dating somebody, that is for the money. You better work hard, Sunny. Because, hey, you better work hard. It's for the money then. She's there for the guala, the guavs, the dough. Good evening, beloved. Talk to me.
You know, there was an issue, you know, that when it comes to inheritance, I mean, succession and inheritance.
Yeah.
Law.
Uh-huh.
And there was a time when the child, mm-hmm. when the child
mm-hmm.
of 5 years, was it 5 years?
Okay.
Who got 5%, I mean 100%
mm-hmm.
as a share in the company. I think it was all mine. It also mm-hmm. went to the court.
Okay.
And then, but then there is that other part mm-hmm. where a child can also inherit, maybe an unborn child, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Unborn baby. Is it unborn baby? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who can also entitled to inherit.
Yes.
Say, for example, maybe the person like just what you said now, they know how to cling to the lawyers,
mm-hmm.
and they craft their statement very well. Mm-hmm. Then now, let's say now in the case of such a father,
mm-hmm.
pass away, the one allegedly for that pregnant.
Mm.
The person passed away and mm. the woman now comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, judge, counselor, this child in the stomach, in the, my tummy.
Yes.
So can inherit.
Mm.
Even when it's not born. I mean, when it's not, I almost say born, maybe born. So that area,
mm-hmm.
because women can do that.
Uh-huh.
You can even say, no, I've got this pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the law now comes and they really determine the authenticity or do the DNA. DNA.
Yes.
So, but they can also now also get they have the right to inherit,
mm-hmm.
let's say, the property from the deceased estate,
mm.
and issues of that nature. But the other one that of the child getting 100% minor.
Mm.
So I think it was challenging the court and what went through, I don't know. But obviously I know that the child succeeded. I mean, he won that he...
Was she the only child, or was that the only child? Was that the only heir?
Yeah, I think that's the only one I can remember that was brought before the court.
No, I'm saying was that child, okay, that was the only child brought before the court. That was the only heir. And this man was not married.
So this man was not married, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was not married, and this was his only child. And then also for the child to get 100% of everything, there was a DNA that was conducted. The DNA was probably done with any other relative, because when you live here in the capital city, we don't abide to these customary laws. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Where I have to share things with your grandmother.
Then why were people complaining then?
No, people were complaining because, I mean, it's a girlfriend. It's not a wife. It's...
Yeah, but yeah. Doesn't matter. The interest of the child must come first to me.
Yeah, but...
especially if you don't think.
But what if the child was a mistake and you just tried to trap him and you were successful and he went to die before he could prove it?
You said the DNA was conducted.
Yes, but we as the next of kin or the family members will always have a problem with that. Because one, our brother didn't have kids and we thought we are going to inherit it because, if the person dies without children, then the siblings are the ones that are in line, not even the siblings, actually, the parents are the ones in line of inheriting. If the parents no longer alive, then it is the siblings. If the siblings are not alive, then it's the next, available relative by blood that can inherit.
So now, yes, now if that was the case, then one can argue that in this way that, yes, that means because the child was still minor, it's a minor. And if now the man happened, the father has happened to die, because it's 100%.
Mm.
100%. So,
but who else was supposed to have it?
Yeah, no, because...
Like, were his relatives supposed to get it or what?
Yeah, because there would be one person who will automatically get that. Maybe it could be his father, could be his mother. Maybe who then now inherit that on behalf of the child.
No, but no, but I'm not a minor. Me, the deceased, I'm not a minor.
Yeah, oh, no. I think in the case, because, so the child who inherit is just a inherit. In case if the father now.
So the grandfather must inherit.
Yes, automatically or the grandfather.
No, the grandfather must inherit if the child doesn't have, if the man doesn't have children. And if he has children, then
the mother
of who? The mother of the boy.
The mother will be out in this case.
No, the mother is.
She will get a child share. But automatically the mother or the father, whoever is available there.
Tatebwana right now, right?
Mm.
If you die, is your sister going to come and inherit also there?
So no. If I, what I'm saying is that the complication is the when you die interstate.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem comes now.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the complex issues, cases. Mm-hmm. Where now and then the father of the children were not married, maybe they are minor issues of that. Now so a lot of complications. But I don't know. So, if I die, no. I mean, of course, depending, if you write a will, when you put the
name there, nobody can come and inherit your children's things. Let's just be honest here.
No.
Nobody can come and inherit your children's things. Nobody has any right to come and take anything. The only things that your family members can come and take are things that your children allow them to take.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Right.
So your mother is not entitled to come and take anything. But you can go and take your mother's things. Why? Because you are her child. She's not your child. And it is her responsibility to take care of you, even in death, and that's why you inherit from her.
Yeah, correct.
So everything.
Now, in that case, in the scenario that I presented,
yeah,
in that proposition now, so because the child is minor, but is entitled by the law.
It's not even about minor. The child has no minor and adult status when it comes to inheritance. Because if it was a matter of adult and minor, right? Then 35-year-old people such as myself wouldn't be inheriting. Because then we'd be adults. We are entitled to inherit from our parents on the basis of them being our parents regardless.
Yeah, you are actually not even in the other one that I was saying is it's maybe just a caretaker in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So not that you inherit and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the law,
mm-hmm.
it's like the succession inheritance
mm-hmm.
is at his fee. But even though it's true that it's the children's inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
But directly now, because of the, maybe they might be mana, they might be incapable, or it might be whatever
mm-hmm.
The case might be. So now somebody has to do now that one on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe in terms of administration, I think.
Mm-hmm. A curator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a curator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you... And this is...
And this, that is most now your guardian. That is most now your legal guardian, your mother.
Yeah, but it's going to be anybody from the,
no.
from the legal system.
No, not really. Because in this case, it seems like it's a clear cut one. It's a straight one here, where who else is going to come and dictate this man's money if his heir is here? So who are you to come and say that? Yeah, this child must be given money, eh? Me as his brother, I'm saying that this child must be given money every month. It's not your money. It's not your things. And this person didn't write a will either. So everything will just be moved straight to this child's name. Everything.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody else, there's nobody else that has a say. What gets a lot of people in hot water, Tatebwana, is the fact that they don't actually move fast when it comes to choosing executors and all of that. They also move with their hearts. This is one thing that I learned. Kucha, you must not move with your heart after your parents die. Don't move with your heart.
But executor now.
Executor must be partial. The executor must be a person, right? That is not bad.
Is not
bad, huh?
Even if it's bad, what can he do?
No, the executor can also slow things down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can also hide a few properties. Yeah, if your lawyer is sleeping, you know, they can hide properties and assets. They can change things. They can go and get marriage certificates through forgery. Mm-hmm. They can go and,
to make the process, you see.
Tedious,
Many, you know, because these things is you see, I wanted to bring in the issue of morality.
Mm.
So our cultures, those norms and values and things like that, because they are part and parcel of our legal system.
Morality doesn't exist when there is money involved and it's compromised.
Let's continue next time. Thank you very much, Namiko. For God bless you for that information.
All right. Thank you so much.
Good
evening, beloveds, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about everything today, but we are mainly talking about the money disease that many of us have. So Tatebwana was talking about a young man that had passed away and he had money. He had his things put together, but he didn't have a girlfriend, but he had a side piece that he was sleeping with that was pregnant. Now, we are unsure about the nature of the relationship in terms of were they seeing each other every day, were they really in love, or was it just the side piece that he is? Because this child, this unborn child, the fetus, this unborn child person that she was carrying was now the sole heir of his entire estate. Now, you would come in and say that this woman is a gold digger, because she didn't give anybody anything, right? She didn't give anybody. She didn't give his mother one of the cars. She just kept everything. She didn't give, he can be having 10 cars and then she can decide that she's not giving anybody anything. Yeah? And it's her right. Yeah? As the mother of the heir. She's absolutely, like, it's fine. She can choose. Not unless the court orders it. Not unless the court says, like, ah, yeah. And that is why you guys that are out there bawling out of control without wills, like, what's your problem? Like, you guys have so much money, but you guys don't have a will. And now you guys leave us out here to scrummage and to fight off family members and to fight off the battles, eh? The Kunta Kinte battles. Do you know what I've noticed is a sad reality? And I think that all of these things, I'm starting to see them with age, right? So many of so many of the women in my generation are widows. This is like an epiphany that I had, like, so many of the women that are from my generation are widows. That means you guys are dying premature deaths, unorganized deaths, and also deaths that shouldn't have happened because you guys are irresponsible. There are not a lot of widowers. That are a 30-year-old widower. Mm-mm. There's no such thing. But a 30-year-old widow, there is. Do you know why? Because the husband is racing off with cars there on the highway and gets his head chopped off. Because the person is drinking so much that his heart clocks. Because the guy is just irresponsible. He's on narcotics, he's on alcohol, he's on what? You guys are making us widows before our time. We are starting to have to live being widows. We just got into the hang of being a married woman and now we must just already step out to grieving and to making tombstones for people. And this is something that you guys are not paying attention to. And that's why the case of that one can happen. But going back to money. And obviously, if we go back to the inheritance, if you are a dude, yeah, that is out there, and then you got your younger wife, and you are so in love with your young wife. Please stop being so in love. Eh? Because the person you marry is not the person you divorced. The person you lived with is not the person that you live on earth when you die. Because grief and mourning and sadness can change us. It has that kind of power to change us. Now you guys are not securing the bag for your kids. This woman cannot even buy, you, the outside child cosmetics. Bro, like, as a nene, guys, hi, Memengono newe to sigapo na engono. Olunga pe hafu to skora yetu. Nengo hafu to askora yuno na we. Guys. And you guys are not securing the bag. Now you are thinking that your wife that you married that loved you because of your money, is going to treat your kids with kindness and love and give them money. If the bag is what okwendera oshako, ontungoro okwendera oshako, get it in your head. Okwendera oshako. Now you are telling us, kucha, ae, otantopolwa kunyoko, shanda mano njendo tantopolwa kunyoko. Atutopolwa kumemengini, shiwuri momwenyo, hanyengwa. To even bring us together, all 20 of your kids, to even bring us together, hanyengwa. Opoteke tu vula peife shawa saa. Okwendero shako dan. Kucha, I leave everything to my wife and she must divide for the kids. Like, what nonsense is that? Divide for the kids. Divide for the kids. Hey? Divide for the kids. Let me tell you what divide for the kids looks like, ne? divide for the kids, there looks like you trying to escape debt. And then you move your livestock to your wife's name, ne? Your livestock. Let's say it's 180 cattle. You move it to your wife's name because you're trying to avoid debt and you're trying to avoid people to come and repossess and what. You move everything to your wife's name. Then you go and die without moving the names back. And then she says what? At the funeral, when your other 10 kids come there that are not her kids, they come and sit there. Like, ah, no, you know, we're burying dead and what. Do you know what is said there? Kucha, no, me, I consider those 180 cattle as my gifts from my husband. That's what she's telling your kids, ne? That's why she's telling your kids that are outside you. And you are telling us, how is she going to do that when you are dead, bruh? Like, and that was an honest answer that we got. And that's an answer that we got from my dad's wife. My dad's wife literally told us that she's not gonna give us from the 180 kettle that used to be his kettle. And then he moved to her name. Why? Because she sees it as a gift from her husband. Yeah? Now us, we are sitting on the outside. Why? Because men are clever, most. Yeah, men are smart. Don't to put it on your bruh. It's a tough reality out there. And you guys are not accepting and seeing things for what they are. Guys, when you're getting married, also plan a divorce. When you're building, also plan how to share it. When you're having kids, also plan funerals. When you are living your life, also plan your death. It is ignorant for us to pretend like the world is not the way it is. We keep pretending. We keep wanting to see things that are not there. Like you see a woman that is extremely expensive. And you give her the impression that you can handle her. And then you don't keep to that promise. You go and gamble it away because you are in the hopes of saying that she might just have grown in love with me because we've been together for 10 years. Bro, I'm leaving. As soon as I see you sinking ship, I'm leaving. And also you best believe that I'm also stealing in the process. Because I would only steal from a person where I can see your spending habits. Where I know that in 2 months' time, there will be no money here. With the way that this man is moving, there will be no money here. I better save myself. Now you are thinking that your bride, your young bride, is not going to do that. I don't know why women are like this, bruh. Women are gold diggers. They don't even... People thought in Shimbobo nun tangune. Eh? In your brother's house somewhere. Charongo we dirirwangane. And you expected me to leave, to stay and go through the struggles with you. I'm not here for struggles. My whole life has been struggles. I'm here for the soft life. I'm here for the soft girl era. I'm here for spa dates and bougie nightclubs. I'm here for expensive handbags and good wigs. I'm not here for these struggle things. If you wanted to struggle in the combat, now you want to come and drag me through it. You people want to kill people's kids. You people want to abuse people's kids like you can't see them. You can see that this person's about the money. But you want to pretend like she really loves me. Are you lovable? Look at yourself in the mirror. And without the personality, can somebody just love you? No. No. Everything about us makes us someone's reason to love us. Everything. It's the way we walk. It's the way we talk. It's the way we talk to them. It's the way we address their parents. It's the way we don't address their parents. It's the way we address our parents. It's our work ethic. It's our lack thereof. It's our sway. It's our swagger. It's our style. It's our priorities. It is our staring gaze. It is our interests. It is our lack of interest. It is our impersonation of a perfect person. It is our flaws oozing out of us because we are imperfect anyways. All these elements and all these components of us is the reason, right, that somebody would love us. But let it not move away from you that sometimes, right, I can live with everything except the money. I can live with an ugly dude that is short, that has a big stomach, that is white. Yes, and that is why you cannot understand why this stone cold fox of a woman is dating that guy. it could be, right, that he cleaned her up. Because I don't think women give you guys enough credit out there. There are men out there, ne, that have taken women from the gutters and made them something. Literally. And usually the woman from the gutter, she's not with you for the money because she doesn't know what money looks like. Like from the gutters, I'm not talking about the hood here. I'm talking about really honestly just a person that comes from a bad situation and doesn't even know where the clubs are. There are guys that have taken that girl, the one that doesn't know where clubs are, that doesn't know anything like that, right? And temwe tapantu, you understand, makes her nice, makes her clean, teaches her taste. But the village girl in her will always be there. And there you can say that she married for other reasons. But if you find a stone cold fox already, yeah, and you are saying, kuche, yeah, women are just about that money, maybe, yeah. But you have to also admit that you like women that look like that. You like women that are like that. You like expensive women. So don't go for expensive taste and bash the expensive person. No. You must look within your means. Live within your means. Paris. Right? So, poverty, money, and love. Conversation. Poverty, money, and love. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you have just joined us, my name is The Matriarch, and I am your host for this lovely Monday, the 24th. And we are doing it again. We are pulling heartstrings. We are having conversations that are real. And the conversation around today, the conversation for today is, right, money. Money in relationships. Should women have their own money in relationships? Should women not have their own money in relationships? Or can we talk about the dynamics of what people really want and what people really are in relationships? And why do we identify money as the root of all evil, especially when you ain't got any? Because it's usually never the wealthy people that are complaining about money. It's always the small fish that want to complain that other people are gold diggers. And I think that that's unfair. Maybe you just can't afford it. Maybe it's just above your pay grade, okay? Maybe that's the real issue here. But okay, we as Eagle Media House do not take any ownership of anything that we play here. It is strictly for illustration purposes, and it's strictly for conversation purposes, and it's strictly for a listen from a different perspective. Enjoy.
The stories we tell about each other matter very much. The stories we tell ourselves about our own lives matter. And most of all, I think the way that we participate in each other's stories is of deep importance. I was 6 years old when I first heard stories about the poor. Now, I didn't hear those stories from the poor themselves. I heard them from my Sunday school teacher and Jesus, kind of by my Sunday school teacher. I remember learning that people who were poor needed something material, food, clothing, shelter, that they didn't have. And I also was taught, coupled with that, that it was my job, this classroom full of, you know, 5 and 6 year old children, it was our job, apparently, to help. This is what Jesus asked of us. And then he said, what you do for the least of these, you do for me. Now, I was pretty psyched. I was very eager to be useful in the world. I think we all have that feeling. And also, it was kind of interesting that God needed help. That was news to me, and it felt like it was a very important thing to get to participate in. But I also learned very soon thereafter that Jesus also said, and I'm paraphrasing, the poor would always be with us. This frustrated and confused me. I felt like I had been just given a homework assignment that I had to do, and I was excited to do, but no matter what I would do, I would fail. So I felt confused, a little bit frustrated and angry, like maybe I'd misunderstood something here, and I felt overwhelmed. And for the first time, I began to fear this group of people and to feel negative emotion towards a whole group of people. I imagined in my head a kind of long line of individuals that were never going away, that would always be with us. They were always going to ask me to help them and give them things, which I was excited to do, but I didn't know how it was going to work. And I didn't know what would happen when I ran out of things to give, and especially if the problem was never going away. In the years following, the other stories I heard about the poor growing up were no more positive. For example, I saw pictures and images frequently of sadness and suffering. I heard about things that were going wrong in the lives of the poor. I heard about disease. I heard about war. They always seemed to be kind of related. And in general, I got this sort of idea that the poor in the world, lived lives that were wrought with suffering and sadness, devastation, hopelessness. And after a while, I developed what I think many of us do, this predictable response where I started to feel bad every time I heard about them. I started to feel guilty for my own relative wealth because I wasn't doing more, apparently, to make things better. And I even felt a sense of shame because of that. And so naturally, I started to distance myself. I stopped listening to their stories quite as closely as I had before. And I stopped expecting things to really change. Now, I still gave. On the outside, it looked like I was still quite involved. I gave of my time and my money. I gave when solutions were on sale. The cost of a cup of coffee can save a child's life, right? I mean, who can argue with that? I gave when I was cornered, when it was difficult to avoid. And I gave, in general, when the negative emotions build up enough that I gave to relieve my own suffering, not someone else's. But truth be told, I was giving out of that place, not out of a genuine place of hope and excitement to help and of generosity. It became a transaction for me, became sort of a trade. I was purchasing something. I was buying my right to go on with my day and not necessarily be bothered by this bad news. And I think the way that we go through that sometimes can, first of all, disembody a group of people, individuals out there in the world. And it can also turn into a commodity, which is a very scary thing. So as I did this, and as I think many of us do this, we kind of buy our distance. We buy our right to go on with our day. I think that exchange can actually get in the way of the very thing that we want most. It can get in the way of our desire to really be meaningful and useful in another person's life, and in short, to love. Thankfully, a few years ago, things shifted for me because I heard this gentleman speak, Dr. Muhammad Yunus. I know many in the room probably know exactly who he is, but to give the shorthand version for any who have not heard him speak, Dr. Yunus won the Nobel Peace Prize a few years ago for his work pioneering modern microfinance. This was when I heard him speak, it was 3 years before that. But basically, microfinance, this is new too as well, think of that as financial services and products for the poor. Think of all the things you get at your bank and imagine those products and services tailored to the needs of someone living on a few dollars a day. Dr. Yunus shared his story explaining what that was and what he had done with his Grameen Bank. He also talked about, in particular, micro-lending, which is a tiny loan that could help someone start or grow a business. Now, when I heard him speak, it was exciting for a number of reasons. First and foremost, I learned about this new method of change in the world that, for once, showed me maybe a way to interact with someone and to give, to share of a resource in a way that wasn't weird and didn't make me feel bad. That was exciting. But more importantly, he told stories about the poor that were different than any stories I had heard before. In fact, those individuals he talked about were poor was sort of a side note. He was talking about strong, smart, hardworking entrepreneurs who woke up every day and were doing things to make their lives and their families' lives better. All they needed to do that more quickly and to do it better was a little bit of capital. It was an amazing sort of insight for me, and I, in fact, was so deeply moved by this. It's hard to express now how much that affected me, but I was so moved that I actually quit my job a few weeks later, and I moved to East Africa to try to see for myself what this was about. For the first time, actually, in a long time, I wanted to meet those individuals. I wanted to meet these entrepreneurs and see for myself what their lives were actually about. So I spent 3 months in Kenya and Uganda and Tanzania interviewing entrepreneurs that had received $100 to start or grow a business. And in fact, through those interactions, the first time I was starting to get to be friends with some of those people in that big amorphous group out there, supposed to be far away. I was starting to be friends and get to know their personal stories. And over again, as I interviewed them and spent my days with them, I did hear stories of life change and amazing little details of change. So I would hear from goat herders who had used that money that they had received to buy a few more goats, change, you know, their business trajectory would change. They would make a little bit more money. The standard of living would shift and would get better. And they would make really interesting little adjustments in their lives, like they would start to send their children to school. They might be able to buy mosquito nets. Maybe they could afford a lock for the door and feel secure. Maybe it was just that they could put sugar in their tea and offer that to me when I came as their guest, and that made them feel proud. But there were these beautiful details, even if I talked to 20 goat herders in a row. Some days, that's what happened. These beautiful details of life change that were meaningful to them. That was another thing that really touched me. It was very humbling to see for the first time, to really understand that even if I could have taken a magic wand and fixed everything, I probably would have gotten a lot wrong. Because the best way for people to change their lives is for them to have control and to do that in the way that they believe is best for them. So I saw that and it was very humbling. Anyway, another interesting thing happened while I was there. I never once was asked for a donation, which had kind of been my mode, right? There's poverty, you give money to help. No one asked me for a donation. In fact, no one wanted me to feel bad for them at all. If anything, they just wanted to be able to do more of what they were doing already and to build on their own capabilities. So what I did hear once in a while was that people wanted a loan. I thought that sounded very reasonable and really exciting. And by the way, I was a philosophy and poetry major in school, so I didn't know the difference between profit and revenue when I went to East Africa. I just got this impression that the money would work. And I started, my introduction to business was in these $100 little infusions of capital. And I learned about profit and revenue, about leverage, all sorts of things from farmers, from seamstresses, from goat herders. So this idea that these new stories of business and of hope might be shared with my friends and family, and through that, maybe we could get some of the money that they needed to be able to continue their businesses and as loans, that's this little idea that turned into Kiva. A few months later, I went back to Uganda with a digital camera and a basic website that my partner Matthew and I had kind of built, and took pictures of 7 of my new friends, posted their stories, these stories of entrepreneurship, up on the website, spammed friends and family and said, we think this is legal, haven't heard back yet from the SEC on all the details, but what do you say? Do you want to help participate in this, provide the money that they need? The money came in basically overnight. We sent it over to Uganda, and over the next 6 months, a beautiful thing happened. The entrepreneurs received the money, they were paid, and their businesses, in fact, grew. And they were able to support themselves and change the trajectory of their lives. In October of 2005, after those first 7 loans were paid, Matt and I took the word beta off of the site. We said, our little experiment has been a success. Let's start for real. That was our official launch. And in that first year, October 2005 through 2006, Kiva facilitated $500,000 in loans. The second year, it was a total of $15 million. The third year, the total was up to around $40. The fourth year, we were just short of $100. And today, less than 5 years in, Kiva's facilitated more than $150 million in little $25 bits from lenders and entrepreneurs, more than a million of those collectively, in 200 countries. So that's where Kiva is today, just to bring you right up to the present. And while those numbers and those statistics are really fun to talk about and they're interesting, to me, Kiva's really about stories. It's about retelling the story of the poor. And it's about giving ourselves an opportunity to engage that validates their dignity, validates a partnership relationship, not a relationship that's based on, you know, the traditional sort of donor-beneficiary weirdness that can happen, but instead a relationship that can promote respect and hope and this this optimism that together we can move forward. So what I hope is that not only can the money keep flowing back and forth with Kiva, that's a very positive and meaningful thing, but I hope that Kiva can blur those lines, like I said, between the traditional kind of rich and poor categories that we're taught to see in the world, this false dichotomy of us and them, have and have not. I hope that Kiva can blur those lines, because as that happens, I think we can feel free to interact in a way that's more open and more just and more creative, to engage with each other and to help each other. Imagine how you feel when you see somebody on the street who is begging and you're about to approach them. Imagine how you feel. And then imagine the difference when you might see somebody who has a story of entrepreneurship and hard work who wants to tell you about their business. Maybe they're smiling and they want to talk to you about what they've done. Imagine if you're speaking to somebody who's growing things and making them flourish. Somebody who's using their talents to do something productive. Somebody who has built their own business from scratch. Someone who is surrounded by abundance, not scarcity, who is in fact creating abundance. Somebody with full hands, with something to offer, not empty hands, asking for you to give them something. Imagine if you could hear a story that you didn't expect of somebody who wakes up every day and works very, very hard to make their life better. These stories can really change the way that we think about each other. And if we can catalyze a supportive community to come around these individuals and to participate in their story by lending a little bit of money, I think that can change the way we believe in each other and each other's potential. Now, for me, Kiva is just the beginning. And as I look forward to what is next, it's been helpful to reflect on the things I've learned so far. The first one is, as I mentioned, entrepreneurship was a new idea to me. Kiva borrowers, as I interviewed them and got to know them over the last few years, have taught me what entrepreneurship is. And I think at its core, it's deciding that you want your life to be better, you see an opportunity, and you decide what you're going to do to try to seize that. In short, it's deciding that tomorrow can be better than today and going after that. Second thing that I've learned is that loans are a very interesting tool for connectivity. So they're not a donation. Yeah, maybe it doesn't sound that much different. But in fact, when you give something to someone and they say thanks and let you know how things go, that's one thing. When you lend them money and they slowly pay you back over time, you have this excuse to have an ongoing dialogue. This continued attention, this ongoing attention is a really big deal to build different kinds of relationships among us. And then third, from what I have heard from the entrepreneurs I've gotten to know, when all else is equal, given the option to have just money to do what you need to do, or money plus the support and encouragement of a global community, people choose the community plus the money. That's a much more meaningful combination, a more powerful combination. So with that in mind, this particular insight has kind of led to the things that I'm working on now. I see entrepreneurs everywhere now that I'm tuned into this. And one thing that I've seen is there are a lot of supportive communities that already exist in the world. With social networks, it's an amazing way growing the number of people that we all have around us in our own supportive communities rapidly. And so as I've been thinking about this, you know, how I've been wondering, how can we engage these supportive communities to catalyze even more entrepreneurial ideas and to catalyze all of us to make tomorrow better than today, right? As I've researched kind of what's going on in the United States, a few interesting little insights have come up. So one is that, of course, as we all might expect, many small businesses in the U.S. and all over the world still need money to grow and to do more of what they want to do, or they might need money during a hard month. But there's always a need for resources close by. Another thing is, it turns out those resources don't usually come from the places you might expect. You know, banks, venture capitalists, other organizations and support structures, they come from friends and family. Some statistics say 85% or more of funding for small businesses comes from friends and family. That's around $130 billion a year. It's a lot. And third, so as people are doing this friends and family fundraising process, it's very awkward. People don't know exactly what to ask for, how to ask, what to promise in return, even though they have the best of intentions and want to thank those people that are supporting them. So to harness the power of these supportive communities in a new way and to allow entrepreneurs to decide for themselves exactly what that financial exchange should look like, exactly what fits them and the people around them. This week, actually, we're quietly doing a launch of ProFounder, which is a crowdfunding platform for small businesses to raise what they need through investments from their friends and family. And it's investments, not donations, not loans, but investments that have a dynamic return. So the mapping of participating in the story, it actually flows with the up and down. So in short, it's a do-it-yourself tool for small businesses to raise these funds. What you can do is go onto the site, create a profile, create investment terms in a really easy way. We make it really, really simple for me as well as anyone else who wants to use the site. And show anybody who has an idea a path to go do what they want to do in the world and to gather the people around them that they already have, the people that know them best and that love them and want to support them, to gather them to make this happen. So that's what I'm working on now. And to close, I just want to say, look, these are tools. Right now, ProFounder is right at the beginning, and it's very palpable. It's very clear to me that it's just a vessel. It's just a tool. What we need are for people to care, to actually go use it, just like they've cared enough. Thing I can give you. I've given you my story, which is the best I can do. And I think I can remind us that we do care. I think we all already know that. And I think we know that love is resilient enough for us to get out there and try. Just a sec. Thanks. For me, the best way to be inspired to try is to stop and to listen to someone else's story. And I'm grateful that I've gotten to do that here at TED. And I'm grateful that whenever I do that, guaranteed, I am inspired. I am inspired by the person that I'm listening to. And I believe more and more every time I listen in that person's potential to do great things in the world and in my own potential to maybe help. And that, forget the tools, forget the moving around of resources, that stuff's easy. Believing in each other really being sure when push comes to shove that each one of us can do amazing things in the world. That is what can make our stories into love stories and our collective story into one that continually perpetuates hope and good things for all of us. So that, this belief in each other, knowing that without a doubt, and practicing that every day in whatever you do, that's what I believe will change the world and make tomorrow better than today. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the money. We're talking about the money. We're talking about the relationships. We're talking about the money within the relationships. And we are hearing how poverty has sound like, you know, when we visualize poverty, we visualize, the deepest of the slums and the deepest of disease, the deepest of everything. But it doesn't always have to be like that, because not every story is exactly the same as the previous story. Good evening.
Ritavazende kize imba izwezipiri lwekeleze mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwankufisa hamocholo ni mata amskavona kale kana mitukselize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye mufumane lisevelezo zezwezipiri ze ka kulifafela mashilingi ali kana 36 na mibian dollars ka kweli kapa kama mikwaye kutesfa fasi yetatama 5% machipisa hamngolisari kwelize talu 10% machipisa hamngolisari kwelize sirela 25% machipisa hamngolisari kwelize lishimiteri muketeri Zo muvata kuri mukone kala kuikola zendezeo imba imiswalezi fama chipisa imba tokuvukanira fasi kaufela mwipe kwali sevelezo za imba kachenu kuri mukone kuikola zende kaufela.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. We're talking about the do's and the don'ts when it comes to money and money in relationships, to be quite frank, you know, because we are all complaining, oh, the economy, and men are expected and women are expected and. But good evening.
How are you?
Hello. I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Where have you been?
Huh?
Where have you been?
It's my first time calling.
Mm-hmm. And where have you been all these years?
Huh?
I have been waiting for your call. Ooh la la. It's like I think people get a little bit afraid. Like, what do you mean? Where have I been? Does she know that I haven't been calling? Oh, what is it? But do call back. The number in studio is 0832888401. That is the number in studio. We're talking about the do's and the don'ts when it comes to money and relationships, right? I think that one thing that we have to dive into our minds and into our souls is the understanding of other people. Other people have different preferences. It's all about preferences, ladies and gentlemen. We don't bash the person that says that they don't want to date anybody with a child. We don't bash the person that says that they don't want to date short guys, or they don't want to date tall guys, or they don't want to date slender guys, or they don't want to date fat guys. We don't bash people for their preferences, right? And I think that somebody having money is somebody's preference. And if we can't accommodate that, we can't bash somebody because we can't accommodate them. It's like saying that somebody has the standards, right? Like, oh yeah, she doesn't date anybody that doesn't open doors for her. And then you want to come and say, ah, no, wait, let's go to a basic one. Let's not even use that example of opening doors. Somebody doesn't date a person, right, that doesn't talk to them, that doesn't communicate with them, that doesn't call them, that doesn't text them. And for 3-4 days, this person doesn't call and doesn't text. And when they call, they come back and then they're like, oh, hey, hi, how are you? And the person is like, no, I don't want to talk to you. Like, why didn't you want to talk to me? I don't want to talk to you because you haven't spoken to me in all these days. And your answer is, yeah, but even my mother doesn't know where I am. Yeah, even my mother, I didn't talk to her. But, well, I'm not your mom. Maybe her standards are a bit lower for kids. But for me as a partner, I would want somebody that talks to me every single day. Yeah, and that's just me. So if you can't handle a person that wants to talk to you every single day, right, then don't date a person that wants to talk to you every single day, because you're going to make their lives miserable, right? Because you want them to change their standards to accommodate you, but you can't change your things to accommodate them. The do's and the don'ts.
Like millions of brides around the world, in March 2020, I canceled my wedding. But unlike these brides, I was relieved. My fiancé was a tall, dark, handsome man, a Nigerian-American doctor. He came from a great family, was well-educated, treated me like a queen. And when he got down on one knee and proposed to me in Aruba, I felt like I was living in a dream. Things were great until they weren't. By the time the wedding rolled around, I was no longer charmed by our differences. I was horrified. He wanted a fancy high-rise apartment downtown. I wanted something more affordable in case anything happened with one of our jobs. I wanted a small, intimate wedding. His guest list alone was 200 people. And in Nigerian culture, it's customary to have two ceremonies. 200 people, two ceremonies. You can see how the costs were adding up fairly quickly. When I asked about savings and retirement planning, he told me that he had a life insurance policy. But one of his family members was the beneficiary and would remain the beneficiary. And if anything were to happen to him, that family member and I would have to figure it out. And to be clear, most of these things are not wrong, and I'm not saying that he is a bad person. But what I am saying is that although we were compatible in many ways, we were not compatible financially. And then the pandemic struck. And rather than face the shame and embarrassment of calling off not one but two ceremonies, we just told everyone that we would reschedule once this whole pandemic thing blew over. And then we just never did. But this experience taught me a valuable lesson. You don't really know someone until you have seen their finances. And I mean all of their finances. Money is one of the most taboo topics in society. Think about it. Do you know how much money your closest friends make? Have you told them how much money you make? Have you ever lied to a friend, girlfriend, boyfriend about your salary? Added a few zeros to make yourself feel better? Maybe removed a zero to make yourself more relatable? Do your friends know how much credit card debt you have? Better yet, do you know how much credit card debt you have? Do you? We hide the truth about money from everyone, even ourselves. Having a money conversation with your partner may be the most vulnerable discussion that you have had with anyone, ever. Because it's not really about the money. Our money is a record of how we live our lives, what we care about, who we care about, how we think about our future, our relationships, our safety, and our goals. Being financially compatible means that you have learned how to share your deepest thoughts with your partner, to show them all of you, and to be seen in return. Since leaving my almost husband, I have helped hundreds of couples as a premarital financial counselor. I help them get clear on finances and have thoughtful conversations around money instead of another blowout fight. My job is a weird combination of the hard skills that I developed while pursuing my MBA, working for a Big Four accounting firm, and doing financial auditing for a Fortune 100 company. And what I have learned is this. If you can communicate about money, you can communicate about almost anything. So, today I'm going to share three tips to help you improve your communication around money and relationships. The three don'ts before saying I do. And if you're already married, don't panic. It is never too late to heal old money wounds and chart a new course together. Tip number one, do not ignore red flags. And people always say, Leah, give me the list. where are the answers so that I could score my partner? But the reality is, red flags are relative. You get to determine what they are. If I love cats, which I do, and my partner loves cats, then that's not a red flag. But if I love cats and my partner hates cats, that's a red flag. True story. I had a cat named Butters, and I actually stopped dating a guy because he told me I don't do cats. So I told him, well, I don't do you. And he got very upset about that. But we just weren't compatible in that way. That was a deal breaker for me. And you get to determine what the deal breakers are for you. But as a financial counselor, there are common red flags that I have observed, like refusing to talk about money. If you initiate a money conversation with your partner, what happens? Are they open and receptive, or do they shut down and refuse to talk about it? As a single woman, I am talking about money in some capacity on the very first date. And yes, I know that sounds extreme, but let's be honest. At least one of you is probably thinking about sex during the first date, right? If that's not taboo, then why is money? Money is just as important or more than sex. Look, I have a motto. If we can't talk about money, we can't talk about sex. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It's not just about the money. When we discuss money with our partners, we're really discussing our future and our goals together. We're building trust. And what is sexier and more romantic than that? You say talk dirty to me, I say talk money to me. And it's almost impossible not to. Money literally touches every aspect of our lives. And these early conversations don't have to be weird or awkward. You can have them or start them by just sharing information about yourself. I recently sold a house. So if a date says, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I would like to see you again. I would say, I just sold my house. I'll be moving out. Naturally, the conversation will turn to home ownership, interest rates, the state of the economy. He would divulge information about himself. Is he a homeowner? Is he a renter? Is he saving to buy a house? You can also learn a lot through observation. Who pays for the bill? Does he tip? Does he talk about big financial goals, or is he more of an in-the-moment type of person? All of these things will give you insight into someone's money mindset. Maybe there's a red flag. Maybe there isn't. And the same is true for financial obligations, child support, spousal support, spoken and unspoken expectations of adult children caring for aging parents, mortgage debt, student loan debt. You need to be crystal clear on who owes what, to whom, when, and how often when determining financial compatibility. Two more serious red flags are, one, financial infidelity, which is lying about money to your partner. This includes lying about debt, income, hiding big purchases, like those Amazon packages. I know. And number two, financial abuse. And financial abuse is when one partner controls the other partner's access to money through lying, stealing, and coercion. And financial abuse is no joke. It occurs in 99% of domestic violence cases. And to me, is the biggest of red flags. Well, ultimately, you get to determine what the red flags are. And even if you and your partner have differing views on money, that does not mean you're financially incompatible. Once you become clear on these differences, you can begin compromising and developing solutions that work for the both of you. Tip number two, do not leave yourself unprotected. Many people think that prenuptial agreements are for the rich, rich. I disagree. Prenups don't just look backward in time, they look forward as well. You may be broke today, but hopefully in 10 to 20 years from now, you will not be. And the central question around most prenuptial agreements is how you will divide what you accumulated during the marriage in the event of a divorce. And that's income, debt, and assets. And I know you're probably thinking, I love my partner. We would never screw each other over in a divorce, says every couple that screwed each other over in a divorce. But the loving thing to do is to make those legal arrangements now. And here's something that you may not have thought about, but you actually already have a default prenuptial agreement. Depending on where you live, it's your state or your country's family laws. And wouldn't you rather decide what's best for your family than a judge? I have spoken to countless stay-at-home moms. They have been out of the workforce for 10-plus years. Their old work skills are obsolete. They have a huge gap on their resume and no real professional network to help them find a new job. You get $430 a month in child support. That's the national average. That is, it begins to cover child care, clothes, food, shelter, medical bills. That's why it's important to protect yourself and your children in the event of a divorce or death. Prenups, postnups, estate plans are great ways to do this. Depending on the age, 50 to 64% of men will remarry within 5 years of being divorced or widowed. And do you want your husband's new wife making financial decisions for your children? I don't. So that's why it's important to protect yourself and your children, even if you don't feel like you need to right now. Prenups, postnups, estate plans, they're like insurance. You hope you don't need them, but if you do, you'll be so happy that you had them. And if your partner has an allergic reaction to this idea, circle back to tip number one. Do not ignore red flags. And last, but certainly not least, don't be afraid to walk away. And it's hard. It is so hard. And it hurts. I know. My fiance and I met in college. We had known each other for 15 years when we broke things off. I lost my best friend when I canceled my wedding. But you can't let the fear of the unknown keep you in a situation that fundamentally does not work. And please, whatever you do, don't fall into the trap of calling a flag pink, rose, blush. Instead of calling it the red flag that it is. And just because I left my fiance does not mean that you have to. Rather, the whole point of the work that I do is to prevent couples from being in the situation that I was in. And there is good news. Even if you and your partner have differing views on money, you can still have a successful relationship. Most conflict in relationships stems from not having much needed conversations or having conversations but ending them too soon. I encourage you and your partner to have one courageous conversation around money this week. And I say, talk openly, honestly, and do not stop until you have reached common ground. If you can communicate about money, you can communicate about almost anything. Good communication is the key to a lifelong and fulfilling relationship. And isn't that what we all really want? Thank you.
Yes, it is. So have those uncomfortable conversations, guys, which I like. Okay, so babe, what is your preference? What did you like? Yeah, like, what did you like? What are you into? What are your quirks? What are your, have those uncomfortable conversations. And especially if you guys are going to be conversating about dinero, about money, right? Have the conversations. Have a conversation so that you know exactly where your person is at. Exactly where you can put them, and exactly what it is that we are doing here, so that it is not a surprise to you when things don't go your way. Right? Have a conversation and look at the person and understand. Now you can always choose that. Okay, so now you see the person is about the money, right? Then you do just that. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Andrea.
Good evening, my love. How are you?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to greet you.
Hello.
And I'm Uncle Bana's daughter.
Hey, how are you, my girl?
I'm good.
Uh-huh. How old are you now?
I'm 12. Your
father tells us you're like a baby. You're like 7 or 5 or something.
No.
Hey? So you're a big girl. You're 12. How is school going?
School is fine.
Nah, what do you want to be when you're done?
A doctor.
Why?
Because I just love helping people.
But you can always help people in other professions also. So why doctor? Why medicine?
I feel like
it's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how much money they make?
I'm not sure.
Do you think it's a lot?
Yes.
Do you also want the money?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you want to help people and you want the money also?
Yes.
Okay, so are you just going to be a doctor or are you also going to specialize?
I'm going.
Mm-hmm. You're going to become an expert in something inside the field of medicine, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So there's one piece of advice that I'm going to give you today, ne? And you must carry this advice for the rest of your life. You must do what you must finish what you start.
Okay.
No matter what, you finish what you start. As we don't care if it's distinctions, it's what. As we just want you to pass. As we just want you to finish what you start. So everything that you start, you must finish it.
Gently.
All right? So when you are done being a general practitioner, then you go and specialize. Because you know what happens with specialists?
Yes.
We pay them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But you better be good at it.
Okay.
You must be good. You must be the best in your field. So, do you know when you are the best, do you know what happens?
What happens?
A lot of people come to you because you are the best. So that means you are helping more people.
Okay.
You get it?
Yes, Auntie. Thank you so much.
I love you so much, okay?
Me too.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Say hi to your dad.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Tate Buana.
Okay, thank you very much, Mami, for listening. You're so important that we did listen to them. You know, whenever we listen to these things,
you
know, that's the reason you're so.
Yeah.
So then I see some kind of interest. I think you have really done your upbringing, your molding, and you know, you're a role model.
My children, please.
Your children.
My children! Oh, protege the Angeta becoming a doctor specialist, man. Thank you so much, Tete Buana.
I think this one is. No,
because she wants to be a doctor for reasons that she cannot tell us.
Yeah, I think you were really motivated.
No. She knows what she wants.
God bless you.
Hey, well, God bless you, Tate B.
Thank you, Ma.
Bye. All right, my beloveds, I live for these moments. I love you guys so much. I wish you guys nothing but the best. And I will see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. It's Eagle FM here. We are changing lives and living our best lives. Ciao, ciao.